and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know, right? Right? Everybody's talking about it. Chris, that Kathleen Madigan came and brought Lewis Black for 2 hours yesterday,
yeah.
Right?
Holy crap.
Or like the coolest kids in class, right? OMG.
Was that like the best show ever?
Oh my God. The interweb exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, everybody.
And if you'd like to hear that again, we're going to be running it as a best of on many of these local stations and on satellite. So.
We're becoming where all the cool kids come to hang. Just saying. Cool, fat. You can email us all at stephaniemiller.com. As Cliff in Miami did, OMG, Stephanie, a lot of OMGs.
Uh-huh.
Listening to Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black made me feel like I was hanging out at the end of an all-night bar with my much-too-fun alcoholic chain-smoking crazy aunt and uncle. How fun. They are the Smokey McSmokerson twins.
Yeah.
They had to go out during breaks and, you know, and then they would waft back in on a cloud of smoke.
Uh-huh.
Like Pigpen, but on cigarette smoke, and then sit down again.
Heck, if I still smoked, I would have gone out with them.
It was so good yesterday. I wanted to have a cigarette when we were done, and I don't even smoke. I don't smoke. It's just like great comedy sex.
That's right.
Comedy Christmas came early.
It really did.
I purchased my tickets for the South Florida Sexy Liberal Libation at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale on December 10th. Yahoo! That one is nearing sellout, is what I'm telling you. Already for December. Wouldn't it be funny to have Nicole Sandler dragged from her seat in handcuffs by security during the show?
Someone's thinking of skits.
Computer says no.
No, we're not going to do that to Nicole Sandler. For God's sakes. All right.
She is quite the sexy liberal, though.
She indeed is. And hopefully the Hulla will make a special appearance for Randy Rhodes. We'll see if we can ship her in from Hullaville to do it. You know, I swear to God, I'll just have her stick her head out and do a time check. 6 after, time for the show. All right. All right, kids, sexyliberal.com, the website, sexyliberal on Facebook, mm-hmm. Because, you know, this morning it's yet another big announcement. What's about 2 hours from now? In fact, Roland, the tour director, writes, due to demand in they have moved up the on sale. It'll be 9 a.m. Mountain Time. Well, where could that be?
After selling out venues all over the nation
and wowing crowds across the states,
we have never been just a collection of red states and blue states.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is proud to announce their final date in 2011.
And they're closing out this year on a high note.
Rocky Mountain High.
Denver, Colorado. That means you.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
On December 17th, Denver's Paramount Theater will host this year's most highly acclaimed progressive comedy tour.
The Sexy Liberal Players, featuring talk radio star Stephanie Miller.
Geez, are we going to Denver or Whore Island?
Tickets are available at the Pepsi Center box office,
Dick's Sporting Goods box office,
at TicketHorse.com,
or by calling 303-53-HORSE.
Come join Steffi's Mile High Club with her signature brand of sexy liberal strain.
Don't miss your last chance to see the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in 2011.
Yeah, baby.
They want to know if you just booked Denver so you could play that sound clip.
Exactly.
We love you, Denver, City by the Bay.
Because I do love the City by the Bay so much.
Uh-huh. That was an awesome promo by Shano.
Shano, Danielle, rock it, kids. Okay, so yeah, we have, by the way, unbelievable this. We're doing a special Sexy Liberal Show in East Lansing to mm-hmm. benefit the Democratic Party there. September 17th, we're going back to Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah, so you got to go to sexyliberal.com. Then we got Asheville, North Carolina. My Republican mom is coming. Possibility my Republican brother may be coming as well.
Oh.
Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be a party in Asheville. And then
should dig a grave for him on stage.
Stop it.
What?
That's his job, to dig my grave.
Well, the tables mm-hmm. have turned, mm-hmm. haven't they?
Yeah, I could reenact all the ways he tortured me in my childhood on stage. Just a big skit.
Yeah.
I'll hang him, and then I'll put the little grave in the fruit cellar. Okay. All right, I have some issues. It's all right.
It's okay.
Mama's working through it.
Maybe we could get your mom to do naked headstands. Mm. Naked yoga.
Okay, you know what?
What?
She's 87, please.
We'll just reenact your entire childhood.
Oh, dear Steffi, why do you have to talk about private things on the radio? Okay.
You should bring Hoppy Delaplant down.
I don't know if... She's... Or that's a he, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Buffalo. I don't even know if he's around.
Oh, okay.
Just hush.
What?
Oh, all I can say is the Sexy Liberal Show going a little better than poor Glenn Beck's show.
Oh dear.
His little, what was it called?
Restoring Courage.
Jerusalem-palooza?
Jerusalem-palooza? Jerusalem-palooza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. Uh-huh. Not going well.
After a sold-out performance in Israel, Glenn Beck returns to America and to Broadway with Idiot on the Roof. One word. Addition.
Addition. Addition. I can't do. Addition.
In the role made famous by Zero Mostel comes another zero.
I am such a rich man, and I don't know how to do anything.
Glenn Beck.
All day long I'm a lying sack of crap, and it's made me such a wealthy, wealthy man.
Get your tickets now for Idiot on the Roof. Coming soon, The Book of Moron.
Yay! Is that Mike and Raleigh on fire once again? Thank you, Mike. All right. You know, we tend to meander verbally in August, as it were.
Yes.
We
people
are
have noticed
this that... close to vacation.
Yeah, people have noticed that we're down to seeds and stems.
A little bit.
Yeah.
At any rate, so I have no idea how we got on the musical Godspell, which I loved. Back in the day, that was the fun fact. I sang Turn Back Old Man in my singing class for college.
Were there any hits from Godspell?
Yes. Were Day there? By Day, Prepare Ye.
Really?
Love the show. Yes.
Prepare Ye was a hit?
Ken writes, hi, Steph. Ken Davenport here. I'm the producer of the upcoming Broadway revival of Godspell.
What?
Be still my heart. I heard that you were talking about the show, and a little bird told me it didn't sound like you knew Godspell was about to return to Broadway. We start performances in 50 days. Check it out, Godspell.com. Prepare ye. Godspell's coming.
I don't think this is the right Day by Day.
No, that's not the point.
Well, I have three songs called...
Day. Oh, where is noted singer John Fugelsang? He's late.
He's on his way.
He's
at the building.
We are doing a Fridays with Fugelsang, and he will be live here in L.A. with us. He's
right.
Just
he had alarm
lost.
Clock issues.
Sure. He is somewhere lost. So, yeah, welcome to our world. How do you like it at insane o'clock, John?
Yeah.
It's not
still
so early
dark
in New
out.
York when you do it. I'm in the New York Bureau, whatever.
Yeah, it's been
got
light here for 3 hours.
At the crack of noon.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Well, we're not bitter.
No, we're not. Anyway, John will be here, but he's also, I think he said he was in a Godspell, so he could probably sing some of it.
He probably played Jesus.
Day by day. Well, he is. He's the ecclesiastical monk.
Yeah. I don't know what Godspell's about. I don't
we'll
even know if Jesus is in it.
Yes, that and Jesus Christ Superstar I also loved. Remember the movie in the 70s?
Well, it was also a play.
Yes. I loved all the Jesus-centric plays.
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, even though... What,
no,
that
I,
Jesus
liked, I was
no.
strictly a fan of Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar.
Just the Jesus ones, not the Joseph ones.
I was thinking it was the last time I was felt up by a boy, actually. It was... All right, not the last time.
In musical theater,
Mike
you
Robinson,
felt
like
up?
The, yeah, Mike Robinson, he was the cutest guy. Wait, in like eighth grade, he felt me up during Jesus Christ Superstar.
Someone in musical theater felt you up?
No, he wasn't in musical theater. Oh. It was a movie. Oh, God. All right. Look who's here, everybody! He drags his beautiful Hollywood-looking ass in here.
Yes.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Oh, I'm hearing about you being felt up by straight boys during musical theater.
Yeah, well, it was eighth grade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
No, it was during the you remember the movie version of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh,
right,
you were in
during
that?
The movie version
no,
of Jesus Christ
movie.
Superstar.
Oh,
pay
you were
attention,
at the movies.
You moron.
Oh, well, geez,
you're fired.
Well, I thought you did something with your theater degree.
I would let my gym teacher feel me up during the movie of Jesus Christ
really?
Superstar. But let the record show, yes.
That, awesome.
It makes the movie of Godspell look like Singing in the Rain. as much as I like Ted Neely, hearing a Texas country singer play Our Lord,
By the by, so that's what we were just talking about. They're bringing Godspell back to Broadway.
I know they are. It's exciting. I know that my friends are auditioning for it. It's
We happen to know the producer.
I'm a Godspell
the producer
fiend.
Just wrote to me.
Yeah?
Maybe I can play Mary Magdalene finally. My dream will come true.
Why? Because you're a slut?
I'd like to do my audition now.
Slut! She's
turn
a
back.
Slut!
Oh, man.
Slut!
I swear thy. Okay. That's a little from memory.
I don't know how to listen to this.
I don't know how to. That's from the other Jesus one.
No, that's Godspell.
Is it Gospel?
Oh, no,
no. Sorry, you're right.
I don't know how to love him as Jesus.
Sorry.
Christ,
wow, I said something nice about Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah. You're mixing up your Jesus-centric musicals.
Let me tell you, man, Superstar is the best thing Andrew Lloyd Webber ever wrote. And I say that as a heterosexual man who likes musical theater. Superstar is dynamite. Phantom sounds like, Phantom's like watching your grandparents have sex. It's just painful.
Yeah,
But Superstar is great. But yeah. Godspell is so strong. I think there should be an off-Broadway theater that shows Godspell year-round forever. Because you don't need to...
Like the Fantastics?
Well, it was the first time religion was ever cool to me as a kid. Yeah. And the music holds up. It's dynamite.
I would go back to New York and audition for Godspell. You know, I lived there for a while.
Why don't you come back and bring the dogs and live in the same place you lived last year?
You know why. Because they don't go for booze.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Yes.
So you come crawling back to Broadway.
You remember that.
I do.
Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
And that's why you had to...
Get out of my bike.
That part doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yes, that's why I
that's why you had to put my bike in my car in the rain.
I literally...
Because I was like, John, why didn't you tell me Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope?
I packed her car in the rain. I packed two bikes in the front seat of her car in the rain. That's how badly I wanted to get her out of New York City.
Out.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, it's interesting he should be here today because we're in the middle of our East Coast, West Coast rap war. After the, you know, we offended some people with the earthquake.
Oh, whatever. Did you? I
didn't
know this.
Whatever to ispilledmylatte.com, whatever. Alice writes, West Coast wussies, hi Steph. I don't think you weenie West Coaster because it's damn what we tough and gritty East Coasters take with one hand tied behind our backs.
That's true.
We have an earthquake with a hurricane chaser. Can you do that, can ya?
Uh-huh.
Maybe we should throw in some fire ants, too. Alice in Maryland.
We got fire ants
throw
on here,
down.
Too.
Yeah.
All
right, Alice.
God, they need more Scientologists out there. They're really toughing them up.
Yeah.
But, you know, they...
Listen, I've lived through both. Where's my nostalgia music? I lived through Northridge. For God's sakes, back in the 90s and the blizzard of 77 in Buffalo, New York, when I was growing up.
I remember that. I remember that blizzard.
Exactly.
Yeah, I toughed that out in kindergarten. I got through it.
I am both in the East Coast and the West Coast gang, so there.
You really are. Well, you're bipolar, so it kind of works for you.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, it's easy. It comes natural.
These are not the jokes. The personal stuff, not jokes.
Oh,
not jokes. Knows me very well. All right.
Oh, speaking of the earthquake.
Sorry, folks. She's not bipolar.
No.
She's borderline. It's a completely different malady.
Entirely.
Wait till you hear what Pat Robertson has to say about the earthquake in Right Wing World.
He didn't.
Thank God. He
did.
Did he blame it on the Haitians?
Ecclesiastical.
Please tell me he blamed it on the Haitians.
All right. The ecclesiastical MOOC.
You'll hear who he blamed it on coming up in Right Wing
World. Delightful.
Yes. The comedy Jesus is in the house. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Fridays with John Fuglesang live. I can see him.
Whoa.
I can see his disturbingly beautiful visage.
Darnest
That's why
thing.
I can only make peripheral. I can only look at him peripherally.
I do this in New York, and it's 9 a.m., not 6. What are you guys doing here?
Lots of women have found out, like the one that floated in... Right, that you cannot look directly at the Fuglesang.
Yeah,
oh, dear.
Do not
but
cross
you can
the sexy screen.
You can look directly at the Fuglesang on Ustream.
Oh, my God.
Am I on Ustream?
You're on Ustream.
Oh, my goodness. It's finally happening. Wow. Glad I wore my good thong. Yeah.
Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
There you go.
Ah, that's right. I haven't been in the studio with you guys since you began the Ustream.
Well,
if
it could get any sexier and more liberal. Representative Alan Grayson will be on the big show in just a little bit.
Yep.
The chairman of AFL-CIO calling on, and Angelo from StopBeck.com.
Yep. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. To talk about his Jerusalem Palooza that we just talked about.
Jerusalem Palooza. Yeah.
Brent in Pittsburgh on the topic of the hour, Godspell. Hello, Brent.
Hello from Pittsburgh. Hey.
Hey.
I was wondering if I could be the official bear musical theater guru of the Stephanie Miller Show.
We needed one.
Hello now.
Prepare ye the way of the guru. Lord.
Okay.
I love it. So I heard a rumor about the revival cast for Godspell that it's going to be filled already with all of the 2012 Republican candidates. And that Rick Perry is actually playing Jeebus.
Yeah, Jeebus. Yeah. He's, can I just tell you something?
Yeah, somebody else. Jeebus, who really likes the death penalty now.
I'll get to that. Hang on, Ecclesiastical Mook. I have a whole stack for you I've saved.
Oh.
Okay. Does Julie in Seattle notice the same thing I do? He looks exactly like Al Pacino, who was playing the devil in
Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, wait, give me my devil music.
You're asking me to out-act Keanu Reeves in a movie?
Hooah! No, that's a different movie. Yeah. Rick. Yeah, wait, hang on a second. Oh, yeah, he does. Look,
I could have played that Linda Blair role. Mm-hmm. Your mother cooks socks in hell. What's the line?
Yes, this is it. Steph Perry is number one in killing people, anybody. He holds the record for dispatching people, innocent and guilty, into the next world via state execution.
Oh, Jesus.
No, his education is not good. I didn't mean to say education.
His education?
He's last in education, first in execution. Yeah. That's a very important difference.
An elocution somewhere in the middle.
Yes, well, not for me. Okay, let's see. In Rick's defense, he's just trying to keep a building he owns in hell at full occupancy.
No!
He does look like Al Pacino as Satan in my all-time favorite Satan movie, Devil's Advocate. Seriously, I love that movie. It's my version.
Really?
Of Your American President.
That's her all-time favorite Satan movie?
You're out of heaven! This whole hell is out of heaven!
Robert De Niro played a much better Satan in Angel Heart.
I agree.
No, Al Pacino is pretty good.
Al Pacino had no yellow eyes.
No.
And Keanu Reeves almost made a facial expression in that movie, so that's why it's good.
Almost. Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
You're the devil, dude, aren't you? Okay. Yes, she sends along the story from the Washington Post. In his nearly 11 years as the state's chief executive, Perry, now running for president, has overseen more executions than any governor in modern history. 234 and counting.
34. Sorry. Well,
that's more than the combined total in the next two states, Oklahoma and Virginia.
It's more than the previous record holder, George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That other great Christian. Uh-huh. And here's the thing. You can like the death penalty. You can be a Christian. You can't do both at the same time,
right,
folks.
Yes. He vetoed. But wait, there's more. He vetoed a bill that would have spared the mentally retarded and sharply criticized the Supreme Court ruling that juveniles were not eligible for the death penalty. His role in the execution of Cameron Todd Willingham, whose supporters said should have at least been temporarily spared when experts warned that faulty forensic science led to his conviction,
this is the one,
is still the subject of investigation.
Liberals,
in Texas,
learn
Perry
that
has
name.
Been unapologetic.
Every liberal has to learn that name, Cameron Todd Willingham. And it's not even that he killed an innocent guy. It's that he crushed the investigation into it. And he completely covered up. Again, it's not the scandal, it's the cover-up.
It's the cover-up, that's right. He battled the Bush administration, Perry did, in the Supreme Court when the president tried to force state courts to review the death sentence of 51 Mexican nationals who had not been allowed to consult Mexican authorities. 12 men on Texas death row have been exonerated. Anthony Graves is the latest, spending 18 years in prison before an investigation showed his innocence. Perry signed a bill awarding him a $1.45 million in compensation, but denied his imprisonment was an indictment of the Texas system.
What?
Yeah, spending 18 years in prison when you're innocent. That doesn't say anything.
Here's
about
the thing, kids.
That doesn't say anything about our system. It's working fine.
Jesus never mentioned abortion once, okay? Not once. Doesn't come up. Mentioned monster trucks.
That's because he was talking about how bad the gays were so much.
Indeed. Never mentioned the gays once either. You know what he talked about? Not killing the sinner.
Yep.
Forgive us our trespasses as we lethally inject those who trespass against us. Does not appear in the New Testament.
Yes. The comedy Jesus is in the house.
Get me started on the death penalty and Rick Perry, man. We're going to tear him apart on this one.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. More Fridays with Bugles.
Murder him on it.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Who hasn't made mistakes? I once French kissed a dog at a party to try to impress what turned out to be a very tall 12-year-old.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour.
It's funny because it's true.
I just heard this joke. I can't say it on the air. Never mind. Jim David told me this joke in New York. What's the last thing you want to hear when you're doing the job on Willie Nelson?
What?
I'm not Willie Nelson.
Oh, no, God. That happens. By the way, this is the favorite morning show of Willie Nelson and his wife.
That's right.
Just so you know.
Really?
Yes. He and his wife listen to this show.
I got to meet Willie at Farm Aid in Lexington, Kentucky, and go inside the trailer one year and spend a day with him, and it was just the best. His album with Wynton Marsalis last year is the best album everyone listening here doesn't own.
Okay, awesome. All right, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number. John Fugel saying live in studio here in L.A. for all 3 hours because you're doing a thing.
I'm doing a lot
with
of
a guy
things.
At a place
I'm
Saturday.
Doing a thing with a guy in a place Saturday. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. But, yeah, Saturday night with Mr. Jim Ward appearing and Kelly Carlin appearing and Emmy winner David Feldman and TV's Frank Conniff. I've got a really strong lineup of comics and poets and rappers and spoken
See,
word
I don't
people.
I don't care if he yells out other comics' names, even when he's here in sexy Liberalville with me.
Yeah.
We just announced Denver, which will go on sale in about an hour and a half.
And that's the very sexy liberal
and
Chris
McQuarrie. I don't
even
care. He cheats on me all the time right in front of me, yelling out other people.
I do.
Well, names.
We've had Kelly Carlin in here. So
we love
not
Kelly
like,
Carlin.
It's not like we haven't slept
We've
with
had
her.
Jim Ward in here, I'm told.
Yes, every once in a while.
Jim told me it's great to come to the show 5 minutes late. I got to say, he's right.
This should be a big...
I got to have my
this
intro.
This should be a big night because no one has ever seen Jim Ward in person.
That's not true. I got Jim Ward to go on stage with one of my spoken word shows 2.5 years ago in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So
rumor. That's a rumor. That's like a Sasquatch sighting.
Yes.
I
did see a zipper. It might have been a costume, but I think it was Jim Ward.
Tom in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Today? Go ahead.
Hey, listen. Is the official progressive pastor in Buffalo taken yet?
No,
oh,
it is
right
now.
On.
It is now. You're it.
Oh, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Listen, I just thought of an idea to raise money for churches. Okay, put your money on, will Pat Robertson say something stupid after a disaster, 12 hours, 24 mm-hmm. hours, or 36 hours afterwards?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this comes from a Methodist pastor where we don't gamble.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, it does become that game. You're like, yep. Okay, how long has it been? What's he said?
Yeah, Pat Robertson actually married my cousin in Virginia. He actually performed the
He's
service.
He's married to your cousin? Oh,
no,
I understand. Uh-huh.
He performed the service back when he was, before he was, you know, evil on a global scale.
Yeah.
Before
wow.
he was making money off apartheid, before he was, you know, blaming gay people who want equality for 9/11.
Yeah. Yes.
He was just evil on a local scale.
I remember
he was
when
just
I heard
a local
that.
Douchebag.
Yeah. I remember now with the anniversary coming up when I heard them, you know, blame gays. And I was like, wow, yeah. That seems like that's exactly the kind of religious intolerance that caused... Oh, I know, 9/11.
Falwell said it, and Robertson nodded his head and giggled.
Yes, he said, yes. Evil Uncle Chuckles.
Yep.
He chuckled warmly.
And this is the guy who won the Iowa straw poll in 1987, beating Vice President George Bush.
Yes.
That's right.
Keith in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, hello to Willie Nelson and his wife. Oh, hi, guys. How you doing?
All right. Well, just talk to us, too.
Hey, new rule. If you're going to be a leader of a country, you better learn how to pronounce it properly. Rick Perry.
Like California?
No, America.
America.
I've always said that. They put too few syllables in words like that and too many in Jahizus and Jahoos.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
It's America right. for the Americans.
Yeah, exactly. And nuclear. We've got nuclear here.
Nuclear.
In fairness, Jimmy Carter said nuclear, too.
Yeah, I don't remember that. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. You know what? We're gonna make you wait for Pat Robertson.
Oh,
till
man.
Until you want it. Until you're begging for it.
Oh, listen, after I went to Haiti, I will never stop berating Pat Robertson for what he said about Haiti.
Yeah.
What did he? I can't remember that one.
He said that it happened, that the earthquake hit Haiti last year, and I went to Haiti after the quake to perform for the troops, and it changed my life, and I'll never complain about anything in the first world again.
Yeah.
And Pat Robertson said the Haiti earthquake happened because Haiti made a pact with Satan.
Oh, that's right.
200 years
that
ago,
one.
Haiti's the only population in history that's been enslaved and driven their enslavers out of the country
that's
on
right.
their own, and against the French. And Pat Robertson said that it happened because they made a pact with Satan. First off, it's racist because it's implying Haitians
yes.
couldn't do
voodoo.
That without
it's
the help
voodoo.
Of goblins helping them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? If making a pact with Satan actually worked, every crappy goth band would have a platinum album now.
Sure. Exactly. See, that comes from his stance as comedy Jesus and a former VH1 VJ.
Yeah.
He has a very particular
yes,
point
back
of view.
When VH1 was run by people who could spell music and didn't hate black women.
All right. Greg Gutfeld on the Fox News.
The difference between Perry and Obama is very distinct. Perry had to kick in a few doors to get where he was, and Obama had all them open for him.
Oh, I see magically because he's black.
Because he's black.
Yes, as who said that lately? Oh, Coburn. Tom Coburn said it's because of all these affirmative action programs. That,
in case you haven't noticed, he's black.
That because you automatically get a scholarship to Harvard.
Yeah, can we just talk about how easy black men have had it in this country for
yes.
a long time?
Yep. Thank you.
You know, they're keeping the white man down, and I'm tired of the man giving it to me.
Yeah, amen, brother. Okay, Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Friends.
You might have been traveling, but in a few, the last few hours, they've released, Gallup has released a survey on how things are going on the GOP side. And look at the current ratings. Currently, Rick Perry is now on top, leading you all, 29. Mitt Romney second with 17. Ron Paul, 13. Herman Cain, you have 4% of the vote. You've got the American people's respect and attention. You've charmed this country.
What?
Wait, he's at the bottom? And he, well, someone must tell Jesus that the math doesn't make sense then. All right.
He got my respect with those crazy friends.
I must tell Jesus.
That's Herman Cain. Wait, so he's last in the poll at 4%?
Yeah, but he's charmed
America. He's got the respect of America.
He's got the respect and attention and has charmed the country. That's why he's last?
Yeah.
He's got the respect of the country because the crazy bread was free because they were 15 minutes late.
Well, that'll get you 4%.
Exactly.
Free twisty bread will get anybody 4.
He's got the respect of the RNC when you've got a former two-time elected governor of New Mexico who can't get invited to debates because he's a libertarian, but Herman Cain, who's been elected to nothing, somehow...
And Fred Karger, who we've just had on this show, who can't get in because he's...
A homo.
Homosexual. Yeah, that's the one thing you can
Well, I love the gay Republicans.
Cannot be gay. Okay. He would be more invisible than Ross, or what do you call it, Ron Paul at a Republican debate.
I know.
They would just be, I literally think the rest of them would start going, la, 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 we cannot hear them.
He was very charming when he appeared on this show last week, though.
Yeah, he was. But you know what? If you can't get a black Klansman, go for the gay Republican. Yeah. I always say that when booking.
Yeah.
And was that the softball-iest of softball questions that Brian Kilmeade asked Herman Cain?
What did he say?
He said, you're down in the bottom of the polls, but you have charmed the country. What do you think of that?
What do you think of how charming you are?
What do you think of the fact that we tolerate a Negro? Do you like that?
All right. Mark Davis in for Limbaugh.
As we stand right now, black America loves diversity of all kinds except one, ideological. America will vote 90-some percent for Barack Obama. Mm. They will vote 90-some percent for the Democrat until that changes, until they choose to free themselves from the shackles of that single-mindedness.
You are enslaving yourselves.
He doesn't give
us
the reasons why they should vote for the Republican Party. He berates them for voting for the party that has, quote, given a crap about them for the past 50 years.
Wow, they're enslaving themselves with Democratic ideology.
Yeah, boy, is there anything funnier than right-wing white people who throw the word slave around casually?
Shackles around like it's fun jewelry trinkets.
Your name is Toby.
Okay.
Free bracelet.
All right.
Free bracelet.
Yes. Did you enjoy the skit that Aisha Tyler and I improvised in Detroit? Because we were talking about Michelle Bachmann. Mm-hmm. One of her must-read books says that the founders, the only reason they didn't, it was out of benevolence they didn't free the slaves into this sort of, because it would have been inhumane.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because it was such a bad job
environment. You saw Gone with the Wind, they were happy.
Yeah, and so I did the Sarah McLachlan commercial.
That's
because
right.
Aisha said, yes, like pets.
I don't know nothing about birth and babies. Yeah, everyone listening to this show has to start doing open mic in your local comedy clubs now so one day you can be on stage with Stephanie and Aisha at the same time. Because let me tell you, LaVoy, it was so fun doing this. We come because at the end of the show is, it's both a headlining set. You see three headlining sets, and then it's a Q&A, and it's a panel, and you see like a political town hall. And we come up and we riff. And we do improv stand-up, and it was Steph and me and Aisha. Uh-huh. And my God, these two women are so freaking funny.
Let me just say, John filling in for teabagging, he's, I don't want to...
My kegels were very strong
after
that.
He was, his style is all different.
I fought it. I said, I'm not going to teabag you on stage. That's Hal's thing.
And he did it. He knew he wanted it.
She threatened to pay me less, and so I came and did it. And then look what happened. Now I'm addicted to teabagging you in public.
Oh, boy.
Hello. In fact, I think we'll do it now. 44 minutes after the hour.
Why don't you do it in front of your mother?
That's a little hard to swallow, Chris.
Come on now. 44 minutes after
the
hour.
Don't get testy.
Right back. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal.
You know, this part isn't a fiddle, though. It's a guitar.
Thank you for that, Chris.
Wow,
it
you
is.
Ruined the whole song for me.
I know.
Before it was such a plausible narrative.
We love the long story songs from the '70s.
Oh,
48. Wow, the long story.
Bob Dylan write more of those.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald lasted longer than it took the boat to sink.
Yes, exactly.
How many times have I said that?
Yeah.
Too chatty. That's what, you know, these days.
You
they just repeat the same thing over and over again. In the 70s, they went the other way.
Well, it's called
it was just
techno.
Entirely
it's called techno
too many
music.
Words. Yeah.
That's called electronica.
Mm-hmm.
My CD was skipping for 2 hours. I thought it was just a great house music track.
What's that one I love? Oh, Raise Your Glass. Love that one, but it's just that's all it is. Raise your glass. Raise your glass. See, now the kids are there lazy. It took some writing to do the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Now, that was a story. That was like a kid joke. It was so long. And one, I don't remember.
Lady Gaga's No Jolson.
We'll get Jim to sing it when he comes in.
Yeah, Jim knows the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know that song.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
I mean, I've heard it. I don't know it at all.
Oh, for the love of God.
It was about the wreck of
Lake
a...
somebody never
Lake
gives
Superior.
Up its dead.
Lake Superior.
It never gives up its dead. That's all I remember.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I was into Velvet Underground back in first grade.
Here you go. See, now that you see it's August. You've inflicted this on us.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's 7 minutes long.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Perfect. I haven't done my show prep.
Oh, great.
Here we go. No, yes, I have. I just want to hear the beginning. Here we go.
Bob Dylan's Highlands is 17 minutes long. Oh, this song. Yeah, this is great. This is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Beck is just getting all your listings now. Driving to Glenn. Driving to Glenn. Oh, yeah. Go over to Glenn Beck now, and he'll tell you how we need to help Israel so God can destroy it in the rapture.
Yeah. Oh, like we played the Gilligan's Island thing. Because, you know, it's like when the promo used to be longer than the show.
Yes.
Like they'd explain the whole plot the jingle in the beginning.
The movie star and the rest.
And then also, and there's a boat, and then it sinks, and then you're like, well, why do I need to watch this now? I know the whole thing.
You're right. You've ruined Gilligan's Island for me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry. Someone made it. We'll have to play ours later. Someone made a Stephanie Miller show.
I've heard the Stephanie Miller Gilligan's.
It's adorable. We are a little Gilligan's Island here.
Indeed. We'll play later.
We're a little Gilligan's Island meets Island of Misfit Toys.
And you're the two hot chicks rolled into one.
Thank you.
And we are the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yep.
Jim Ward said he'd be here in time for Christmas.
Jim Ward's the Charlie in the box.
No one wants a Charlie in the box.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the box.
All right. This is from The Five on Fox News.
What about the Tea Party and his birther thing? You don't think that person?
Oh, come on, Bob. I don't think that's what Jeb Bush is talking about. Really? Because that's like ages ago in water in the boat.
Ages ago that we questioned the president.
Ages ago. Don't bring up
when the guy we wanted to run for president was questioning it on his reality show. It was ancient history.
That was
Bronze
months
Age.
Ago we said the president was a Kenyan.
That's back when everything was in black and white. That was so long ago.
Okay, here it is because you've been a goodbye.
Uh-huh.
We've got Evil Uncle Chuckles, Pat Robertson on the on the earthquake.
I don't want to get weird on this,
so please take it
what it's worth. But it seems to me the Washington Monument is a symbol of America's power.
It has been
the symbol of our great nation. We look at that monument and we say, this is one nation under God. Now there's a crack in it. There's a crack in it, and it's closed up. Mm-hmm. Is that a sign from the Lord?
You know what?
Oh, wow.
It's an even bigger sign that things fell off of the National Cathedral. I think that's an even bigger sign.
Yeah, you know,
there's a crack in our giant penis. What does that mean?
There's tornadoes in the Midwest and meth plagues and trailer parks and infant mortality rates and illiteracy and high birth rates for underage kids. Is this a sign from the Lord? Is God punishing the Midwest for listening to Pat Robertson? Yes, that's a yes. Robertson is God punishing me.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know. But he didn't even go on to say what that means.
I think
a sign from God about what? What does it mean?
I think it's a sign that
Republicans control the House and they're gumming up the works. Is that what he means?
I think it's a sign that plate tectonics exist.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and God wills plate tectonics.
Glenn Beck at the Jerusalem Palooza.
I love the Israelis. I love the Israelis. I love the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they drive me out of my mind when they talk over each other.
They're
constantly talking. I don't know how that society even functions because you open up your eyes and it's like, you know what it is? It's like, have you ever, I was friends with a family that had 8 kids. Eating dinner at their house was like having dinner in Israel.
Mm.
Everybody is just talking at the same time. You can't even think.
Mm-hmm.
I love these Jews. They're all talking at the same time and they can't even think. You know, this guy, just open up your mouth and put your second foot in it, Glenn. Every time he talks about Jews, there's a great quote, and it's on YouTube. I'll post it on your site if you want, where Glenn, and I was watching it last year, where Glenn actually comes out and says, Jesus wasn't executed. Jesus wasn't a victim of the death penalty, because if he was a victim, when he came back from the dead, he would have sought revenge on the Jews who killed him. Period. That's what Glenn thinks. Mm. Glenn has offended the Jews so many times. And again, all your fundamentalist Christians, my friends, when they talk about helping Israel,
monster truck Jesus.
You know why they care about Israel? You know why they care? You know why they love the Jewish people? Because they want Israel to exist so it can finally control the temple. They can build a new temple, and then God can destroy it.
Yep.
It's all this rapture Bible fan fiction that has no basis in the teachings of Jesus whatsoever. They only support Jesus so God can destroy it when sci-fi Jesus comes back.
By the way, was a talk show talking about how much talk too much? Is that what he was also just talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone that talks 3 hours a day on the radio and then an hour on television before that got canceled. So he says that the Jewish people talk too much is his point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you imagine if the rapture is real and like the only people in heaven are guys who like Left Behind books? Kirk Cameron wins the Oscars every year.
Oh. I think it's time for, you know what? Let's play Mike and Raleigh's salute so John can hear it again. Why not? I think you can't ever hear it enough. It's a salute to Glenn Beck in Israel.
After a sold-out performance in Israel, Glenn Beck returns to America and to Broadway with Idiot on the Roof.
One word.
Addition.
Addition. Addition.
I can't do.
Addition.
In the role made famous by Zero Mostel comes another zero.
I am such a rich man, and I don't know how to do anything.
Glenn Beck.
All day long I'm a lying sack of crap, and it's made me such a wealthy, wealthy man.
Get your tickets now for Idiot on the Roof. Coming soon, The Book of Moron.
That's an idiot on the roof.
Who day and night must say the president's Muslim.
Ay vey. All right. So that concludes another riotous right-wing world. White-wing world?
White-wing
world?
Well,
it could be these days. They're so racist, the Tea Party.
Wow.
White-wing world. That's what I said. Oh, be very quiet.
Oh, my goodness.
All white. Listen. Because John can on occasion be a naysaying mook.
A naysaying mook?
I am doing a happy clappy.
What is she saying? Because I stick true to liberal principles, mm-hmm. Chris? Is that why I'm a naysayer?
Occasionally suggest that President Obama might not be living up to her expectations.
Because I'm loyal to the principles Obama ran on. I'm a naysayer. Is that what it is?
I'm having some gastrointestinal distress. Don't make me point it your way.
Yeah, that's not sound effects today, folks. That's ambient
real
sound. And there's seagulls outside the studio window.
No, here's what I learned the hard way. A friend ordered mushu pork last night, and I thought I would just bring it. I can't eat pork, which must mean I'm a secret Muslim. Like
you are Muslim, yeah.
I can't eat pork. It's not. Things are not going well. We may even get to my favorite sound effect at some point, because this is not good.
Yeah, please get to another sound effect.
Okay. That's my favorite. Okay.
Or.
Have you ever had? Yeah, that's a little more what's happening today.
We could play Teacher Poopy Pants.
Oh, stop.
I've actually asked for that sound effect. I'm like, can you play Owl Whoop?
You're just trying so hard to get Noam Chomsky on this show. That's what this fart sound is all about, right?
Exactly. No, it's when something really bad is happening.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Suddenly I miss being in the New York studio with you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't be here, but folks, right now, Chris and I are wearing hazmat suits because of the studio. Well, check it out on Ustream. This is my first time on the Ustream show.
I may have to have Bobby Jindal exercise that out of me. I don't know what is going on inside there. Okay. I just love the story in the LA Times yesterday because we were just in Detroit. Carmakers' rebound is driving jobs in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. President.
Because of our show, too.
The industry that once needed bailing out could be the one to stave off recession. Taxpayers bailed out much of the U.S. auto industry. Now the carmakers might be what saves the nation's economy from falling back into recession. After a massive restructuring and several high-profile bankruptcies, the leaner, more aggressive auto industry is making a comeback, hiring workers and ramping up manufacturing plants. From a tough 2 years ago, Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, other auto companies have added almost 90,000 manufacturing jobs. Hello!
In the USA.
A 14% increase, according to federal employment data. Job growth in Michigan, which was devastated by the downturn, is even more robust. That's why Michigan's rate stood at 10.9% in July, well below the 12% rate out here in California.
Mm-hmm.
California.
Anyway, not just the big three that are thriving, Nissan, VW, other foreign-based firms are expanding in the U.S. is putting billions of dollars into building and refurbishing plants. I'll tell you more on that because it's good news. Finally, some good news.
Government help. It's not just Burke Perry anymore.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC. Free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website, the Sexy Liberal website, SexyLiberal.com.
And Sexy Liberal on Twitter and L Facebook.
In less than an hour, 1 hour from now, tickets go on sale for Denver. It's the Sexy Liberal Christmas show.
And no, it's the very sexy Chris McQuanzica show.
Chris McQuanzica.
It's
the last show of 2011.
I was on the phone with Shano working on this promo, trying to say Chris McQuanzica and getting it back. And we thought Chris McQuanzica, less syllables, gets the point across, but we're trying to get it to your liking.
All right. we will be in Denver. I don't even know.
It's our holiday show.
Oh, the 17th. No, we'll do the promo. We have a very important guest waiting. Oh. Okay. And we also had another very important announcement. Fort Lauderdale, ladies and gentlemen, December 10th.
Yep.
We are coming to Fort Lauderdale. I am almost done knitting his patriotic thong. What? Yes. Look, it's almost done. I just have to bedazzle it.
Thanks, Jim.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to
former
face
teacher.
The Grayson. Yes.
Good morning, Congressman Alan Grayson.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm coming to Fort Lauderdale, Sexy Liberal Show. December
10th. I heard about the song. I'll wear as much or as little as you want.
Oh, thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
Please
see,
come. Please come, Congressman.
Someone that works for the people, finally. All right. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
I love, as usual, the stuff you write. You wrote, my 16-year-old daughter, Skye, got a credit card application in the mail yesterday. I guess I should be glad that we still get them. If we didn't, that would be a strong sign we're broke. Anyway, the envelope for the credit application reads, freedom, defined by cash back rewards. One could say that those six crass words directed to a 16-year-old sum up exactly what's gone wrong with America. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, look, the word freedom has been perverted and twisted by the other side to the point where it's not even recognizable anymore. I don't think that cashback rewards mean freedom. I like cashback rewards, but I don't think they mean freedom. And, you know, we can remember when George W. Bush said that they hate us because we're free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember that?
Actually means something. It's important. George Orwell pointed out that the first thing that a bad politician does is he tries to pervert the language.
And you remember
how we've seen both with politicians and with commercial language.
Well, exactly. I mean, when you say that, I think we even made a montage of it, how many times George W. Bush used the word freedom in relation to Iraq.
That is the force of human freedom.
Yeah, freedom
in all
that.
The world.
Freedom's
cause.
Yes, freedom at the end of an American bomb in that case.
You know, women were a lot more free in Iraq under Saddam. Uh-huh. I hate to say it, but they had a lot more freedom.
Yeah, but you're right, Congressman, that it just gets misused a lot.
Yeah, and it's deliberate. You know, a pattern like this is not by accident, but our side does something totally different. FDR pointed out that it was not just freedom for things that matters, it's freedom from things, like freedom from fear, freedom from want. And that's how our side looks at things.
Yeah.
We understand that the rich and the poor are both equally free to lose their houses and sleep under bridges,
mm-hmm.
but that's not real freedom. Freedom is the ability to be all you can be. Freedom is the ability to excel in life and not be taken down by disease or by a lack of education or by discrimination or by bigotry. You know, these are the things that actually in reality keep people from exercising their freedom, and we try to remove those barriers.
Yep. I love how you finish it up. My conception of freedom is that you can be all you can be, unchained by mass unemployment, bigotry, poor health, and poverty. And I'm sure it's different from Rick Perry's or Michelle Bachmann's or Eric Cantor's or Sarah Palin's. Janis Joplin summed up their kind of freedom this way. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Yay. Yay for Alan Grayson's writing. It's just good stuff, you know. You mentioned the Republican field. Is it me that it's more of an insane clown posse this year than most years? I mean, this is really the fact that Rick Perry has just shot to the top I mean, they have really gone lunatic right fringe, haven't they?
Look, he's the perfect president for the Confederacy. Have you seen the polling versus Jefferson Davis? He's up by 20 points.
He's a secessionist and a recessionist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, look, he wants to repeal the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment. What he really wants to repeal is the 13th Amendment, the one that ended slavery.
Yeah.
Where would that leave Barack Obama?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, that's the thing. I've been quoting liberally from this a piece James Rainey wrote in the L.A. Times. And, you know, they keep talking about Michelle Bachmann's gaffes. And what he points out, they aren't gaffes. I mean, she co-wrote a book with someone she went to Oral Roberts with. She, you know, recommends books. And then there's a third book I think she recommends. They all have the same theme that, you know, that the founding fathers, you know, just didn't, you know, release the slaves out of benevolence. You know, and the relationship between the slaves and the owners was really, you know, not based on racial animosity, but mutual respect and all of this just, you know, awful revisionist history.
I'm sorry, but I can't say anything about Michelle Bachmann. We have an agreement.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah, the agreement is that if she doesn't lie about me, I won't tell the truth about her.
Oh, boy.
She's like crack for your id.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, speaking of polling, though, I mean, this is the problem is that, you know, remember Bill Clinton used to say a rising tide lifts all boats, which was true when he was in. The opposite, I think,
was
is happening.
Was it Bill Clinton who said
Kennedy,
that?
Kennedy said yeah.
Well, I'm talking about Bill Clinton paraphrased it, but what he was talking about, that we really did have, that these were times of sort of unprecedented.
Talking about something else rising.
Yeah, well, all right, listen. You scamp, Alan Grayson. My point is...
You're off the Christmas card list, Congressman.
It was obviously a time of prosperity. He talked about everybody doing well. You know, and I was saying he was paraphrasing that. But I mean, this is sort of the opposite. I don't know if you've seen this latest poll. 87% disapprove of Congress. Well, Republicans are running the show in Congress. Americans plenty angry at Congress in the aftermath of the debt crisis. Republicans could play the greatest price, a new Associated Press poll shows. It finds the Tea Party has lost support. John Boehner is increasingly unpopular, and people are warming to the idea of not just cutting spending but also raising taxes, which, of course, the GOP is across the board against, just as both parties prepare for another struggle with deficit reduction.
Because the Bush tax cuts created so many jobs in Asia.
Yeah. But, Congressman, how do you... I mean, that's obviously, in some ways, you go good news for our side, but at the same time, it's pulled down everyone's approval ratings. The president, all of Congress. You know, how do we go into this next round?
Well, people see that the real two-party system, as I said on MSNBC last month, is the meanies and the weenies. The meanies want to take away our Social Security, our Medicare, and our Medicaid, and the weenies want to compromise with them.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of those positions is acceptable to ordinary human beings who make up the great majority of America.
Jim,
what they want to see is somebody who actually is trying to solve real problems in their lives. We have 23 million people in this country who can't find full-time work. We have 47 million people in this country who are on food stamps and need government assistance to eat. We have 50 million people in this country who can't see a doctor when they're sick. You know, the people recognize when they open the newspapers and when they see the news every evening, they recognize that nobody's working on those problems, and it upsets them. And it doesn't surprise me that 87% of Americans don't like the way Congress is working. And frankly, you know, the other 13% probably work for Congress.
That's
the only explanation I can see, because they're not getting anything done that is useful in solving people's problems. And that's what a government is supposed to do. It's supposed to help you solve the problems that are too big for you to solve yourself. If we have one person who's unemployed, that's a problem for that person. If we have 23 million people who can't find a full-time job, that's bigger than any one of those people can solve.
Oh, they're just lazy.
And it should all be blamed on this president, not the one who was losing 700,000 jobs a month when he left.
What I've heard from Republicans lately is not that they're lazy, but they value free time more than employment.
Of course. Well, you know, Jim was saying yesterday, though, he said negotiating with Republicans or compromising, it's like compromising with a rabid dog. I mean, you know, that's the problem. You know, what I hope is that, you know, this poll holds true and we get the Alan Graysons back in Congress, because politics is always cyclical. You know, you're right. People were angry last election cycle, right? That's why people like you, you know, got swept out, and now people are like, what? This is what I voted for, you know,
Democrats,
and the Tea Party support is collapsing.
Democrats didn't vote in last cycle because many of them felt that nobody was doing anything useful for them.
Right.
The other side was setting the agenda. The other side was winning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Osama bin Laden, of all people, once said that if you see a strong horse and you see a weak horse, then naturally you'll be drawn to love the strong horse. And that's an observation of human nature that applies very well to American politics.
Yeah.
People perceive the Republicans now as the strong horse and the Democrats as the weak horse.
In 2004, Bill Clinton said people would rather vote for someone who's strong and wrong than weak and right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly why I always say we wish we had a Congress full of Alan Graysons. But
yeah.
But how are you feeling right now about, you know, in terms of how it's going to be when it's time for the next election?
You mean for my race?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
we don't even know where the lines are going to be yet. But mm-hmm. you know, bear in mind that they spent $5 million of super money to try to get rid of me in a bad Democratic year last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to expect the same or similar treatment this time. We're going to have to raise a lot of money. But we already have thousands of people who've come to congressmanwithguts.com and made contributions just since I announced last month.
Yep.
And last time we had 80,000 people make contributions to the campaign. And in addition to that, we had a huge number of people sign up to volunteer to make phone calls for us. And in one day, we generated 69,000 calls from volunteers to people in the district.
And, you know, and that's because you fight for us, and you know, I hope that you look at, I know you look at the same polls I do and go, you are fighting for the same things the American people want in poll after poll, on issue after issue, and it's going to be future Congressman Alan Graysson. I'm your unofficial campaign manager. Former and future Alan Graysson, so great to talk to you. We will talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
Bye.
What a man, what a man.
I
what
love
a mighty,
him
mighty good
so
man.
Much. I love him so much. I want to kiss him. Okay, what? 17 minutes after the hour. Wait, did we mention something about, let me see, carry the four. It's in less than 45 minutes, John Fickle's saying. In less than 45 minutes. Something.
After
yes.
selling out venues all over the nation.
And wowing crowds across the state.
We have never been just a collection of red states and blue states.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is proud to announce their final date in 2011.
And they're closing out this year on a high note.
Rocky Mountain High.
Denver, Colorado. That means you.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
On December 17th, Denver's Paramount Theater will host this year's most highly acclaimed progressive comedy tour.
The Sexy Liberal Players, featuring talk radio star Stephanie Miller.
Jeez, are we going to Denver or Whore Island?
Tickets are available at the Pepsi Center box office.
Dick's Sporting Goods box office.
At TicketHorse.com.
Or by calling 303-53-HORSE.
Come join Steffi's Mile High Club with her signature brand of sexy liberal strain.
Don't miss your last chance to see the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in 2011.
I always said that. Are you part of the Mile High Club if you have sex in Denver?
Apparently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious, breaking news from a Roland tour director. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Marked important, Denver. They're asking me for people to buy tickets online, which is why they moved the time up to 9 a.m. Mountain. People are going to the box office. They don't have enough staff to deal with the large influx of people.
They would rather have people at 4 a.m.
They would rather have people get tickets immediately online than wait. People are lining up now. It seems it's getting a little disorganized. Oh, dear. Democrats disorganized.
Yeah,
what?
I got the same email.
So tell people to buy online this morning. Okay.
Where do they buy online, Roland? You didn't say it in the email. Is it Ticketmaster or is it the other thing?
Dick's Sporting Goods. Oh, wait a minute.
Leave Dick's Sporting Goods alone. Well, you know.
Listen, of course you can buy tickets at Dick's for a sexy liberal show.
Don't be at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yes. All right. Go to sexyliberal.com and Sexy Liberal on Facebook. I know Roland will post something up there. But what if it was just in that promo where you can buy online? All right, and we will confirm when we get back. 19 minutes after the hour, we continue more Fridays. Stop it. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is actually Lou Reed and Neil Young singing this. This is their one duet. A lot of people don't know that. They released it under another name, and it was their anonymous supergroup. I'm the official classic rock nerd of the Stephanie Miller Show. I know these things.
Okay, 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hey, as you know, Virginia got hit with an earthquake recently.
Yes.
And they say that Hurricane Irene is getting ready to hit Virginia again as one of the major spots. And we need to let Eric Cantor know The problem here, we don't have the appropriated funds because of the budget cuts, of course, that we can't fix all the damage that's going to be done by two disasters. Plus, the utility workers have not been privatized yet, Stephanie, and the wealthiest properties there have received too many tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we need to tell Eric Cantor, Eric, the funds aren't there.
Right. Did you see what he said? He actually said that, you know, the relief has to be offset elsewhere in federal,
elsewhere in the federal budget.
You're
not going to get any relief unless I get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
The dog gets it.
Otherwise, I'll have more of a bitch face than I already do.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, my God. We check Eric Cantor's bitchface.tumblr.com every day for new ones.
Yeah, I'm going to turn around too quick and hit you with my Adam's apple.
Okay.
I'll take you out.
Mm-hmm. He said, while touring the damage in his district, he said, obviously, the problem is people in Virginia don't have earthquake insurance.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
The insurance companies will save us all.
They'll charge you $1 billion for earthquake insurance.
Isn't earthquake insurance... isn't that provided by the state of California here in California?
Yes.
You can't get earthquake insurance through insurance companies.
You mean the government that makes these buildings built to code,
yeah.
So we're much more prepared over here than we are in New York?
I have earthquake insurance. What are you talking
about? Through your insurance company or through the state?
I don't know. I'll have to find
out. Okay.
Jim, do you? Right.
No. Because the deductible is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't use it. Unless your whole house falls down.
Trying to get your house fixed.
All right. I did it for a false sense of security.
Plus I bought near the top of the market, so,
All right.
I'm screwed anyway.
Okay. All right. Oh, can I have my love music, please? Jim, did we see this? Look at that. It's Gaddafi's Condi Rice photo album.
Mm.
He loved her. He wanted to date her.
Yeah, if he had a lot of pictures of Ayn Rand, the Tea Party would give him asylum now.
Yes, rebels invaded the compound. They found the, look at this. It's just it's a photo album containing images of Condi Rice. Oh, was that like his material?
Oh!
You know, rubbing out material?
I don't know.
Was it dirty?
His spank bank.
Was his spank bank?
Oh! Bad Muslim! Bad Muslim!
Ooh, they're laminated. I wonder if they had a
billion more attractive women than
she's very attractive, but
he spoke of her in glowing terms in a 2007 interview. I support my darling black African woman.
Mm-hmm.
I admire and am very proud of the way she leans back and gives orders to the Arab leaders. Leans back. So we can see her boobies better?
Yeah.
What? Leans back like when Hurricane Katrina hits and she goes shopping, leans back?
Mm-hmm. And then he says, Lisa. Seriously? Was he seriously rubbing one out right during this interview?
Oh.
He said her name three times? Lisa. I love her very much. I admire her and I'm proud of her because she's a black woman of African origin.
I will put an extra coat of eyeliner on to impress her.
Gaddafi out of Condi Rice spank bank.
They found a lot of Playboy magazines in his underground tunnels at the bunker, by the way.
And gay porn.
They found gay porn?
Really?
Gay porn.
Suddenly he's a bad Muslim. Wow, he broke a law of Islam. Oh, and then killing all those people, too.
Oh, and then they're killing people. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, he broke that.
All right.
Yeah.
Then. Okay.
Man, can they find oil in Somalia or what, please? Can we go bring freedom there?
29 minutes after the hour. Karen Nussbaum, president of Working America, AFL-CIO, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Too seriously. A lot of what she says is intended as humor.
Shish. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Was that Liz Winstead?
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Maria in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Maria.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Good morning, Maria.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
I'm not supposed to say that. I say that every time.
That's all right.
On me.
That's okay.
So I was lucky enough to go to the Detroit Sexy Liberal Show.
You were in Detroit on Saturday night.
You were the one.
I was in Detroit on Saturday night, and I didn't know who to meet or grope first because each of you is more gorgeouser than the next.
Oh, now.
Aretha Franklin. I hope you could have. Did you see her or grope her?
That I have to keep between me and Aretha.
All right.
How did you like the show, Maria?
It was phenomenal. You guys, I'm really just calling to thank you because it was an incredibly memorable evening. You guys were so great.
Oh, thank you, honey. Well, we had a great time. It's always a joyful noise. Thanks
and you know,
for coming
We're coming back to East Lansing, Michigan in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I'm so excited for you guys.
You going to come? You going to come?
I would like to. I will see what I can do. I'll see what magic I can pull.
All right, good. Good idea. All
right. You are a sexy liberal.
All right. Yes, indeed. It is. It's just such a joyful noise. Such
a great
party.
Great audience in Detroit. We had three standing ovations in one show in Detroit, guys. We had three standing ovations. I mean, two of them were when I said I was done with my set.
Yeah.
But
no, it was out of sheer adulation. All right. My headphones appear to have stopped working, which is very inconvenient at this point.
What?
However, no, it's all right. It's just it's something with the thing. It's fine. I just won't be able to hear my next guest, so I'll ask questions, and then you'll tell me what the answers were.
Do you want mine?
I'm fine. Karen Nussbaum is president of Working America. She joins us now. Good morning, Karen.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Oh, I can hear you.
Me.
I can barely hear you. Good. This is working fine. Now, Karen, tell us about, we talk about this all the time, buyer's remorse. We just talked to Alan Grayson about American voters' remorse with what they voted for.
Well, Stephanie, Working America talks to 20,000 working people in their homes every single week, and they feel that what they got in this last election was definitely not what they were looking for. And so we've given them an opportunity to express themselves with return receipts. So people all across the country now are signing out return receipts and sending them directly to their congresspeople saying, sorry, this isn't what I wanted.
Well,
it's time for you to shape up.
Well, we were just saying, I think, was it AP poll, Chris, the latest poll that was just out, 87% disapproval of Congress, and it is a Republican Congress right now. Tea Party support, John Boehner's support in this latest poll, I think it's what people like you and I have been saying for a while, correct?
Oh, well, you know, in the last election, people were voting against unemployment, that the economy just wasn't working for them. And what we've gotten is people who are about ready to just destroy the economy entirely. And that's not what our members are looking for. They're looking to have stronger communities, not communities that are wrecked. They're looking for opportunities that their kids could actually just get a job. Those are the kinds of things that people are looking for. These are solvable problems, Stephanie. You know that. And what we're getting instead is brinksmanship.
Well, you know, and let me just say, it was interesting. That's why we just took that call, Karen, before we brought you on, is we were just in Detroit. And I read this story this morning. It was in the LA Times yesterday. Carmaker's rebound is driving jobs in the U.S. This is a perfect example, isn't it, of an American company, American jobs. And basically, I mean, what it says here, taxpayers bailed out much of the U.S. auto industry. Now the carmakers might be what saves the nation's economy from falling back into recession. How about that for an American success story?
Exactly.
Government and business working together.
The loans were made to the auto industry. The auto industry got back on its feet. Now workers are putting taxes into the economy. This could be happening all over the country. We could be investing in jobs. People could be going back to work. We could be those who are going back to work could be buying gas, and those gas station attendants could be buying groceries. The whole system could be working. And instead, what we're getting is this insane discussion about debt. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, and thank you. But, you know, the other thing is you've got Republicans as a whole. I've heard how many of them, whether it's candidates for president or others, say the auto rescue didn't save any jobs. What? I mean, first of all, it not only saved jobs. I'm just looking at this right here. They've added 90,000 manufacturing jobs, a 14% increase, according to the latest statistics. It's literally, when you read a headline, Carmaker's Rebound is driving jobs in the U.S., you go, that's why. I mean, that was such an and poised to be number one again. And as Americans, Republicans can't even be proud of that.
Nope.
And then you see stories like that in the Washington Post from just a few days ago saying that big multinational corporations, which are basically replacing every job that they eliminate in this country with a job they create overseas at one-tenth the pay scale, are now looking for tax breaks so that they can so-called hire more workers here. And they refuse to divulge what they're who they're hiring in which part of the world. So under a veil of secrecy, they are moving jobs overseas and asking for tax breaks.
Right. And by the way, I wanted to point out, just one last piece out of this LA Times piece, Karen, it's not just the big three that are thriving. Nissan, VW, other foreign-based firms are expanding in the U.S., putting billions of dollars into building and refurbishing plants. Startup Tesla Motors in Palo Alto. There's Fisker Automotive in Anaheim, Coda Automotive in L.A., hiring, spending hundreds of millions of dollars designing and launching electric and hybrid vehicles.
Nissan builds tons of Japanese cars with American labor right here.
Yeah, we are at 12% unemployment. Karen, here in California, so this is great news. You know, the story finishes saying dealers are having a banner year, making more money per sale than they have in years, hiring back some workers they shed during the recession. A Chevrolet and Buick dealer here said, I've been adding dozens of employees for sales and sales support. The economy is crazy, but our retail business is growing and getting better. I mean, it is so nice to read a good news story, isn't it?
It is, and that's why Working America members have as one of their priorities, create jobs in this country. Let's manufacture in this country. Let's buy U.S. manufactured goods.
Yeah, make it in America.
Exactly. And, and it makes so much sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It is workingamerica.org, correct?
You bet. Workingamerica.org. Anyone can join. You want to be part of the labor movement, just join Working America.
Awesome. Karen, thanks so much for your time. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. There was, you know what? I think what it is I might be going deaf is what might be happening. I have
it
ringing in my ears.
It's probably just your oxy habits, Steph. This has happened with radio hosts before.
This morning. I think I'm literally just falling apart like the Beverly Hillbillies jalopy.
Is it still bad?
It's Friday. I'm fine. What?
What?
Who are you?
What?
Huh? Oh, you don't have a microphone. That's why I can't hear you.
Yeah. It's another...
Stop.
In case you're just
me.
Tuning in, folks, it's another radio show host has an oxy problem, and she's blaming her hearing loss on something else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What?
What? What did you say?
All right.
I have to yell to hear myself. It's not because I'm angry. I'm just deaf.
Look, it's more Gaddafi House fun facts. Oh, come on. This gets better and better. Not only did he have a Condi Rice spank bank.
Hit me. They call it stroke book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just
Condi, but this is good.
Okay.
This is really good.
Wow. Mediaite has a headline, Inside the Look at Gaddafi Compound, Gay Porn, Spinning Teacups, and a Gold Mermaid Sofa.
What was that first thing?
It's like Liberace and David Guesthouse mated or something. And, wow. And Rush Limbaugh's
figurines?
Big gay apartment in New York.
Oh,
remember
wow.
the
yes.
pictures
yes.
of that?
Yes. Rococo kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Condi Rice Spank Bank just a... Yeah, I didn't say that.
I guess that. Dan Abrams has way too much dignity to talk that way.
It was just the tip of the eccentric iceberg. there is the porn, like Osama bin Laden before him.
Mm-hmm.
Gaddafi was in possession of a gay porn DVD called Boys Tracks.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
I think it's great. Listen, man, I think it's great. Give the Muslim world more porn. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Give them more porn.
Yeah.
His daughter, Aisha Gaddafi. Which
oh,
is
really?
What Newsbusters calls Aisha Tyler.
Yeah.
When she's here.
They will now.
Saying her usual violent lefty things that she says.
Aisha Gaddafi.
Had
he wishes. Not on his best day.
had her own villa with piles of children's clothes, a pink travel cot, a golden sofa in the shape of a mermaid.
Oh. Piles of children's clothes sounds even creepier than...
It is Michael Jackson's
not
clothes.
On Marcus Bachman's watch.
Spinning teacups? Children's clothes? Come on.
But let's get to the gay porn.
Okay. Perhaps the biggest sign of grand opulence in the entire Gaddafi compound is the mini amusement park in the gardens. He had a full-size carousel and spinning teacups.
See?
For his chimp bubbles.
Yes.
It's been described as his own personal Neverland. Yes. Mm-hmm. He also had used some of the estimated $470 billion he plundered from the country to build a zoo stocked with animals supplied by fellow African despots.
Wow. It's mm-hmm. Michael Jackson all over.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
It's
okay.
like, it's just, it's... And this is a guy putting himself up as an Islamic leader, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah, we talk about Christians in this society. We talk about, you know, Rick Perry executing 30 odd people and calling himself a Christian, despite the fact that Christ was totally against the death penalty. And in every religion, when my atheist friends want to blame religion for all the problems, it's not the decent people. The overwhelming majority of Christians, Jews, and Muslims who are moderate or liberal get along just fine. It's the hypocritical douchebag fundamentalists of all faiths who justify violence and hatred and hating on women.
Yeah.
It's the far-right conservatives of every religion.
President Rick Perry's America would be exactly like Rick Perry's Texas. Number one in executions, last in education, number one in minimum wage jobs.
Yep.
That would be...
I just talked to some friends last night who did a pilot about grandmothers in their 30s, a reality show pilot about grandmothers in their 30s. And by the way, on American TV, that'll just be huge. And it was all in Texas. And they went everywhere and they found... grandmothers under 40 all over Texas, and it's normal.
Awesome.
Just like their friends.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me rock it. Stephanie Miller. Let me rock it. It's all up on the deck. Let me rock it. Rock it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. John just discussed me. He has new angles on my ass from
the
Detroit show, which
really
is hard to get a different angle on my
ass.
Hot
pictures of you. And that, by the way, that was noted Republican Chaka Khan we just heard.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Practicological cameraman John Fugelsang live in studio with us.
Stop it now. You love the photos I took of you. And look, we had a great theater at the Lensic in Santa Fe where I was able to sneak out into the audience and shoot you from the front. But in general,
I don't know how you got those pictures. Literally, Chris, it was like in Spider-Man. They dropped him from the ceiling.
I was rappelling from the balcony.
He got, I don't know, pictures of the top of Aisha Tyler's rack, from the ground, my ass from the ground up.
Actually, in Detroit, Aretha Franklin actually held me over the edge of the balcony when I shot a few pictures.
Uh-huh.
So she was my ballast. And I have some very hot pictures of you.
She is much thinner now.
That wasn't a weight joke. And I got shut up. And I got great pictures of you that haven't been put up on the website yet at sexyliberal.com or at the Sexy Liberal page on Twitter and Facebook.
All right, Robert in Palm Springs says John Fugelsang makes him smarter. Hello, Robert.
Good morning. Two things. One, John Fugelsang, yes, is wonderful. I'm reading a long piece from The New Yorker from 2009 about Cameron Todd Willingham.
Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to know that name.
Yeah.
Everyone listening to this show needs that name.
I'm about halfway through it, and the arson investigators were just, God, they were nasty people.
Yeah, and the cover-up was just appalling.
Robert, tell the story so people that don't know. He's a guy, his house burned down, killing his wife and three children.
His three children.
Killed the three children. And according to the arson investigators, he clearly poured accelerant under the kids' cribs, and he raced out of the house with his shoes on because his feet didn't have any burns on them. This is all I'm into the story so far. But all the witnesses changed their testimony once they had been told by the arson investigators that he had obviously done it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But then it was when they had the investigation.
I'm only halfway through the story. I can't wait to see what...
You got to read it because...
This woman out of nowhere comes to his defense. This woman who starts being a pen pal for prisoners.
Yeah, well, anyway, Robert, thanks for calling. John, but tell the story for people that don't know
it. When the evidence proved, or I think proved, that clearly Cameron Todd Willingham did not do it.
It couldn't have been arson.
What the damning part of the story is how Rick Perry fired them.
Yeah, the investigators.
And squelched the investigation.
And executed him.
Yeah. Now, there's this urban legend, I don't know if it's true or not, about a focus group, a GOP focus group where someone said, well, I like that Rick Perry executed an innocent man. It shows he has balls. I don't know if that's true or not, but again, Rick Perry can love the death penalty or you can love the Jesus. You don't get to love both.
Yeah. Back to the more important topic of the morning, and that is the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Mondo in Jacksonville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mondo.
John Fugelsang, stop hating on the official tedious 70s ballad of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes!
Superior Hells Underground have a song that is 17 minutes long, and the only lyric I can understand is this erase bed, along with sucking on your ding-dong.
Oh, yeah, okay, you, whatever
Mondo.
You say.
Thank you, Mondo.
It's a great tune.
Jim Ward knows it. He has like a... Rain Man type memory for this song.
Superior, they said, never gives up or dead.
It's a great melody. I'm just, it's just, this song goes on like a bad marriage.
All right.
They call Gitche Gumi.
Wow, Brett from Tel Aviv, where we just, the
Hello,
site of Jerusalem, the Glenn Beck's thing. Hi, Brett.
Oh.
Hi, Brett.
Hello. I just wanted to talk first about how Gaddafi's thing sounds like a Michael Jackson Neverland.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Michael had no gay porn.
almost certain, though, Michael Jackson didn't rub one out to Condoleezza Rice, but I could be wrong.
No, but...
No.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just, you know, being here, the whole Glenn Beck thing, I had a few friends that were at the anti-rally there, and he actually arrived in kind of like a Pope-mobile thing that was bulletproof.
Oh, there's his faith. There's faith in action right there.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And not only did he speak, but there were people throwing bread at him. I'm not even kidding you.
Seriously?
Like, they were just
like he's a pigeon? Yeah.
Well, they weren't getting that far because the anti-rally had to be about 50 yards away, but the fact is that they were just throwing pieces of, like, challah and, like, just pita.
Awesome. And they said challah back.
Challah back.
Challah back.
Wow.
Back.
Awesome, Brett. Thanks for the report from
Tel Aviv.
We appreciate it.
He probably shouldn't have served the trife sandwiches, though.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, you know what, John, the reason we are liberals, though, because we are empathetic, we're open-minded, we promote our enemies' stuff, we do.
Yes, we do.
After a sold-out performance in Israel, Glenn Beck returns
sold
to
out.
America and to Broadway with Idiot on the Roof.
One word.
Addition.
Addition. Addition.
I can't do.
Addition.
In the role made famous by Zero Mostel comes another zero.
I am such a rich man, and I don't know how to do anything.
Glenn Beck.
All day long I'm a lying sack of crap, and it's made me such a wealthy, wealthy man.
Get your tickets now for Idiot on the Roof. Coming soon, The Book of Moron.
Yes, thank you.
Wow, you can hear the advertisers fleeing that show. If you'd like to see the show, buy gold now. That's wonderful.
Speaking of Rick Perry, here he is. Man fight has commenced with Mitt Romney. Here we go.
I think Mitt is finally recognizing that the Massachusetts health care plan that he passed is a huge problem for him. And, it was not almost perfect.
You know, here's where Mitt's smarter, because what Mitt is doing, Mitt is standing back and he's waiting for Rick to self-destruct. Mitt is not engaging him.
Yeah.
And I got to give him credit. You know, the healthcare thing, he's got a great argument. He's using the state's rights and size. Yes.
Well, because his was smaller, so it's better.
Our bill was 70 pages long. Obamacare's 2,000 pages.
Oh my God! So it's automatically bad because it's for a whole country, while yours is just for a little
state.
Still
short of the Patriot Act, which nobody read.
Too many pages. Who let the pages out?
Doesn't Mitt look a lot better since he had the bolts removed from his neck?
Oh, by the way, he was just at a fundraiser for himself on Martha's Vineyard.
You shouldn't be on the vineyard playing golf. You should be doing your job getting Americans back to work.
Uh-huh. For me, for you, for getting them back to work, raising money for you to be president.
Is there anything
what? Am I a big hypocrite?
Don't we love people who defend George Bush and voted twice for George Bush, complaining the black guy takes too much vacation time?
Yeah.
Do we love that,
yeah,
people? That Bush, at this point in his presidency, had taken over 200 vacation days to Obama's 70-odd, and that Bush continued this vacation time after 9/11, and that Bush got a presidential daily briefing 10 years ago, brothers,
that's right,
10 years ago this month, Bin Laden determined to attack the U.S., did he do? He cleared more brush. This guy's with the vacation thing. I hope when you're at your Labor Day weekend
you
barbecues.
Remember the pictures of him
your ash now.
Playing the guitar, eating birthday cake with John McCain during Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
During it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really hope at your Labor Day barbecues that your Republican friends folks bring up Obama's vacation, because throw this in their face. 200 days versus 70 days at this point in their presidency.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick Perry, speaking of which, compared homosexuality to alcoholism, condemned radical gays for promoting the gay lifestyle. Time magazine reports in his this is 2008 book, not his latest one.
Get on this, Dan Savage.
On my honor. He drew a parallel between homosexuality and alcoholism. He said even if an alcoholic is powerless over alcohol once it enters his body, he still makes a choice to drink. Even if someone is attracted to a person of the same sex, he or she still makes a choice to engage in sexual activity with someone of the same gender.
Wow. Rick Perry may be proof that the upper 2% is the mob and America's the restaurant they're burning down for the insurance money.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Vehicle Slang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. You can go to Sexy Liberal on Facebook and on Twitter. And the big oh my God, 6 minutes ago. We understand there's already been pandemonium.
After selling out venues all over the nation
and wowing crowds across the state,
we have never been just a collection of red states and blue states.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is proud to announce their final date in 2011.
And they're closing out this year on a high note. Rocky Mountain High.
Denver, Colorado. That means you.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
On December 17th, Denver's Paramount Theater will host this year's most highly acclaimed progressive comedy tour.
The Sexy Liberal Players, featuring talk radio star Stephanie Miller.
Geez, are we going to Denver or Whore Island?
Tickets are available at the Pepsi Center box office,
Dick's Sporting Goods box office,
at TicketHorse.com,
or by calling 303-53-HORSE.
Come join Steffi's Mile High Club with her signature brand of Sexy Liberal Strange.
Don't miss your last chance to see the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in 2011.
Yeah, baby!
Hot.
Yeah, very exciting. John Fugel's saying, this really has been designed to kill me. By the way,
every time I hear this song now, I go back to teabagging you on stage. That's
you.
What they play at the theater.
He's doing it right now.
Yes, I am.
Enjoy.
It's okay. A mime teabagging.
We're doing a very special Sexy Liberal Show in East Lansing, September 17th, to benefit the, Clinton County
this
Democratic Party.
This is very exciting. MortonCenter.com.
You can go right there for tickets to that one.
If you live in between Oregon and Florida, you have to drive to this show. It's going to be so hot.
Yes.
Really. I'm really excited about this one.
Then we got Asheville, North Carolina, who my Republican mom and maybe Republican brother are coming to September 24th.
I am just going to hit on your mom so relentlessly.
And
man.
Then October.
I will have her.
Which I will not survive. Seattle, Los Angeles, and San Francisco.
They're all on the West Coast. What, are you going to break a hip? You going to break a hip going to Seattle? Come on.
Shush.
Lady.
And then, check this out. Today, they opened the box office for the fall season in Austin. We are in. Guess who the cover girl is in their fall brochure?
In Austin, the city that
Miller.
We thought we couldn't get booked in?
Yeah. Oh, you mean that they tried to keep us out one theater because they have a conservative
mm-hmm.
board and they wouldn't let us in? And then we went to the
other place? A couple conservative members on the board.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
their liberals wrote us to tell us. They kept saying, we're getting no requests here. And they were getting tons of requests.
November 12th, we are going to mess with Texas.
It's going to be the Rick Perry roast.
Yeah, exactly. And then also going to Mama's hometown, Saturday, November 19th, Buffalo, New York, Fort Lauderdale, December 10th. And then we already even announced Portland, the very first 2012 show, January 7th.
And a very special, sexy Chris Mahanza Quantica special.
That's right. Happy early Chris Mahanza Kwanzaa cut
to
you.
We're coming, Denver.
It's okay if you're Muslim, a Christian or a Jew.
That's right.
It's okay if you're agnostic and you don't know what to do. I'm all inclusive celebration with ignoble lubrication. Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa to you.
And the pagans, too. Exactly.
That's the song they were playing in the bar in Kill Bill 1, right?
All right. You can email us all at the regular old website, stephaniemiller.com. Roland, not our Roland.
Okay.
But a question about Chris's infamous tweet. Steph, wondering, part of the Stephanie Miller Show lore, I was wondering if we'll ever be made privy to the contents of that infamous tweet that almost got Chris fired.
No. Computer says no.
No, because then he would get fired.
Was it about
After
boys?
After all, even Deep Throat said he was cool with Woodward and Bernstein finally revealing his identity once he was gone. Do you see a similar thing happening in this case?
Computer says no.
No.
No, it's a very different kind of Deep Throat.
Yeah, he didn't almost get fired from me, John. I think we all know it's impossible for me to fire you. He's called me the C word, and I don't fire him because I have no self-esteem at all.
And that's also foreplay
literally,
for you.
Literally, there is nothing. He could seriously pee on me right now, and I would not fire
him. Well, that's
him.
Foreplay for you as well.
Exactly.
I've seen the downloads.
I'm just, hey, can I have a Kleenex? And that would be it.
So what was it?
How who else am I going to get to spend this much time with me?
So what was the outrage?
What? We can't say, because it wasn't me.
Wow. Yes. Way to let down your listeners.
Yeah. No, so we can't. That will be the secret that... Okay.
It's the tweet that dare not speak. It's
yeah, we can't talk about that tweet.
You know what? If you go to the Ustream show for Stephanie Miller, I'm making my Ustream debut today and putting the link on Twitter and Facebook. I'll hold up flashcards revealing what it is gradually.
All right. Julie in Seattle, she was a lot of news because you're a noted feminist, John.
I am such a feminist, I leave the seat down in the men's room. That's how much a feminist I am.
She was writing about that French guy, Rapey McRaperson, getting set free this week. Mama, yeah. Perhaps you found it a tad unsettling to see the New York City DA set the pervert guy, Rapey McRaperson, free to roam the world again.
He's douchey McDoucherson. He's not Rapey McRaperson.
Foisting his unwanted attentions on hotel maid journalists, political colleagues, and or other hapless females who cross his path when he happens to have an erection and no one willing handy. This editorial from the UK Independent points out rape is a 98% get-out-of-jail-free crime in the U.S.
You know what? Please, come on now. Cyrus Vance is the DA of New York. He's a good man. He didn't let a guilty guy go. This woman's story didn't add up, and she told so many lies to investigators.
He's got
allegations
around
the world. He's a douche, and he certainly does. Yeah. And it's not saying he's innocent. And I'd love to see him go to jail so the Aryans would make him wear a maid's outfit. However,
the UK story says it's possible the former IMF boss is the victim of a truly dreadful coincidence, becoming a victim of slander by women who don't know each other on two different continents. He's dealing with another rape allegation and another. But anyway, the interesting facts that she sent along. The hunt for the ideal rape victim is never-ending but fruitless for the simple reason it requires unimpeachable conduct on the part of the victim in every area of her life, past and present.
True.
Women who've been drinking, who know their alleged attacker, who have ever told a lie to a public official, even in an unrelated matter, are
not
victims
not what
prosecutors want to put in front of juries. It's well known that sexual predators often choose their victims with care, selecting girls and women who are vulnerable in some way, black, poor, working class, who are likely to make much less convincing witnesses. Well, that was the point of view. Who knows what's right? I'm just saying.
The DA who prosecuted this had to dismiss the charges.
Well,
because
right, but the, I mean,
and it's not saying he's innocent. It's not saying he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Although in France he could run on that and win.
I was going to say, I don't think that's any. Detriment.
Gerard Depardieu got to be a movie star for that. I raped the woman, and she is happy.
I'm going. You know, you're filling in for me. I'm going to France for my.
Yes, you are.
Big 5-0.
That's great.
And you're filling in for me with Labor Day week, and I may.
Do share. Try not to be on Depardieu's flight. Wee.
I may be baptized into the next century in the urine of Depardieu. What?
That's okay. It's great that he's doing to the airlines what critics have done to his last 20 films.
Yeah, you know why I'm doing it, John? Because, as you know, there's nothing that makes conservatives madder than liberals succeeding at capitalism, like the Sexy Liberal Show. So I'm taking some of that sexy liberal cash, and I'm French and gay.
You know what makes them more angry than liberals doing capitalism? Liberals saving capitalism, like in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what Ralph Nader said.
With the unions and American workers.
Ralph Nader said capitalism will never fail because we'll always have socialism to bail it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And socialism saved capitalism, kids. Sorry, it's the facts.
Can you take your organ out, Chris? More from noted Christian Rick Perry on homosexuality. Rick Perry went on to say, after he had compared homosexuality to alcoholism, he said he was tolerant. Don't you hate that? Like any human being needs to be tolerated by another one, okay. He said he was tolerant of those who have different sexual preference, but condemned the agenda of radical gay rights groups that want to throw their sexual activity into the face of society.
Like straight people? Like straight people holding hands and throwing it in my face in a free society?
Despite the decision by millions of families not to teach the gay lifestyle as an acceptable alternative. So suddenly civil rights, human rights,
whatever.
Those are just
freedom, America, liberty. Yeah, I love that all these guys, except for Ron Paul, we have to always point out that out, but every other candidate for the GOP presidential nod believes in freedom, liberty, and not letting gay taxpayers marry who they want.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Listen, that could be why California's tanking, and I don't know for sure, but I know Melissa Etheridge once said on the show that, you know, maybe she just wouldn't pay her taxes if they didn't, so maybe she stopped, and maybe that's why we're tanking. I don't know. But who could blame her? She said maybe they don't want to give me rights. Maybe I don't need to pay my tax money.
Mm-hmm.
Having been a conscience. Barbarian in office all those years may have had something to do with it.
Well,
I
was pillaging and raping them in the California. I was shot them.
Yeah. Now
in fairness, he's pro-gay marriage.
And now we know again, Jim, what he meant by things of this nature. he meant pillage and sack.
Anti his own marriage, pro-gay marriage.
Yeah.
You don't cheat on the Kennedy, Arnold. That's not how it works.
Stop it. Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jill.
Hey, guys. Gordon Lightfoot's coming up here.
Awesome.
Oh, I love Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, Bob Dylan loves Gordon Lightfoot, you know.
Yes.
Yes, and I told you last time Randy Rhoads is coming too. The same month.
Oh, my God. There is not enough Jenny Cream Ale to celebrate all that's happening in upstate New York.
That's right. And on a more serious note, because Jim and Don are there talking about 9/11 again, it's my understanding that Bush never went back to Washington after his vacation. That he stayed away.
Oh, yeah, no, he was flying away from the danger, basically. They had him flying I don't even know where.
And you know what the reason they gave?
And then they sold, Jill, campaign pictures of him on the plane.
Yeah.
Flying away from the danger.
But people forget what Ari Fleischer said. The reason why they went off to Nebraska and just flew and hid all day on 9/11 was because they were afraid there would be a terrorist plot against Air Force One. Mm. Like they're going to hit a plane with a plane? They lied all day long. Yeah. And when Bush came out and said they hated the attack because they hated our freedom, well then, dude, why don't they go to Amsterdam first or Canada?
Even Andy Card said, this has not been our best week.
No.
Bush disappeared for 3 days.
PR-wise, not
then
really.
Then he showed up with a megaphone. Hey!
Exactly. Thank God they got a lot of PR mileage out of what happened in my city.
And I can't believe they actually sent one of those to me. It was a fundraising thing with a picture of, you know, saying, here, could you help give money? And it's a picture of George Bush, I don't know, pulling his pants and asking Dick Cheney what to do, flying away from the danger. And I'm like going, I'm not just a liberal. I'm a liberal.
It's a
television show, you moron.
If you go down the Ground Zero, which is in my neighborhood, downtown Manhattan, you will find people selling photos on the street of what happened on 9/11, profiting off the tragedy even today. But Giuliani does it for a public speaking career, and Bush does it to get reelected.
And the
defense firms do it, and we have these fake wars, and so many people made so much money off of 9/11, and they have not been held accountable. And now George Pataki's going to run for president?
Oh, the excitement is
what
palpable.
A great job he did of holding Giuliani's coat that day. I'll vote for him.
Hey, guess what? Michael's calling from... Yeah, yes, he is.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
Hello, Michael!
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
Hey, you won't believe it. So many coincidences all in a row. Anyway, the Power of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
I was supposed to go fishing early this morning. I delayed so I could stay home and order tickets to the Denver show.
Yeah!
Woo! The easiest way to get there, because the Paramount website is slow, is to go to TicketHorse.com. TicketHorse.com and search upper right corner, Sexy Liberal.
Awesome.
Done
that.
Hot.
And I was just telling my wife last week that you weren't coming here because you don't have an affiliate. And we just last week made a pact not to put any more money on the credit card, and then I went and did it.
MasterCard. Michael, we are on the weekends there. They run the Best Of show on the Denver station there. So we're excited. We will see you for the Chris Mahana Quanzica show.
Third row center.
Yee-hoo!
Oh, yay.
Roll. December 17th.
This show's getting... I'm so proud of where this show's at comedically. The Detroit show, kids, was so hot.
I don't remember what he's talking about.
It was so great. Stephanie got naked this time again.
19 minutes after the hour. Actually, I did. I just flashed. Well...
The VIPs walked out, but it was still...
Yeah,
she did.
Yeah, I said, I got your car show, Detroit. Take a look at these headlights. Got my high beams on for you. I gave him a little something extra.
And you raised money for Planned Parenthood.
A little something extra in Detroit. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Bugle-Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Friggin' A. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number this hour, brought to you by Carbonite. I can't risk losing my important computer files. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. Get it. Do it. You do it, too. Carbonite automatically backs up those files whenever you're connected to the Internet. Couldn't be easier. Go to Carbonite.com today. Enter Stephanie for a free... Trust me, it's good. For a free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com offer code Stephanie. I'm stumbling over myself. embarrassed. I censured myself.
Frozen in carbonite. An imperfect hibernation, Lord Vader. I will never get tired of Empire Strikes Back jokes for that commercial.
Bill in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show.
Thank you.
I live in Los Angeles. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. Maybe you guys should take the Sexy Liberal Tour to Richmond, Virginia.
Yes, oh. We should, especially after the earthquake.
The Cantor country.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's Eric Cantor's backyard, and I want to let you guys know that he's going to have some very strong Democratic opposition in this upcoming election.
Wow.
And I would like to arrange for you guys to introduce him to the national audience your show.
That would be awesome. That would give him the biggest bitch face ever.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Strong opposition.
Opposition? That's just not fair.
Tell those sticky Democrats to get their sticky hands off my my congressional chaise
lounge. There's only room for one corporate puppet in this congressional district, and I'm the guy. You don't even want to know what I've done to these CEOs to get the campaign donations. I've earned being owned by them.
Wow, speaking of pathetic politicians, could Mitt Romney be a bigger flip-flopper? Could he be more?
This guy's flipped more than a crack house mattress.
What's that, Mitt? He's now on climate science, he doesn't know. He's just not really sure.
Really?
He's a little, He said, do I think the world's getting hotter? Yeah, I don't know that, but I think it is. He just said at a New Hampshire town hall event, after being criticized by Senator Jim Inhofe for being mushy on climate change.
I'm getting hemorrhoids from sitting on the fence a lot.
He said, I don't know if it's mostly caused by humans. Copying a Rick Perry line, he concluded, what I'm not willing to do is spend trillions of dollars on something I don't know the answer to. I do not believe in putting a carbon cap on polluters. 2 months ago, 2 months ago, it's 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. Romney said, I believe that humans contribute to global warming, so it's important for us to reduce our emissions of pollutants and greenhouse gases. And is just a bridge too far for Republicans.
Mitt. Mittens.
A Romney aide told
Reversible mittens.
Yes, he is reversible mittens.
Oh, we got a new one.
What? I sent the T-shirt. Okay. A Romney aide told Reuters the candidate has not altered his position on climate change.
No, just like he's not altered his position on abortion.
No.
No, or on health care.
No.
It's completely the same. Listen to what I'm saying right now and ignore my entire history, can you?
I've not altered my position in the Mormon underwear.
Meanwhile, I love this. Well, you know, if you're watching Fox and Friends on Sunday, something's gone horribly awry with your life. But anchor Clayton Morris admitted that Fox News fact checkers have confirmed that man-made global warming is certainly real, but argued it doesn't matter because climate denial is popular among Fox News watching conservatives. Literally, this is a transcript. He said, if you dive into the weeds a little bit on this global warming thing, you see that it seems facts are certainly on Huntsman's side on all this, and fact checkers have come out. We're actually having our own brain room. The brain room at Fox, filling your own joke. Everyone filling their own joke. Okay. And look at this right now, Perry's comments don't see a whole lot of water, but it doesn't matter. What's resonating right now in South Carolina is helping Governor Perry tremendously, and he fired back at Huntsman on global warming and gaining traction, facts or not.
Why is John Huntsman going for the sane Republican who lives in the 21st century and is responsible demographic?
Yeah, how's that working out for you? How's that going? And of course the reason the facts of global warming don't matter is because Fox constantly bombards them with anti-science propaganda.
Huh?
Yeah. Fox News brain room. There's Sean Hannity's little
room.
It's a room full of abnormal brains. Sean Hannity's little tic-tac.
Abnormal brain?
Who's his smaller, Steve Doocy or Brian Kilmeade? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This cat's got a real offbeat sense of humor.
Does Butler. One of my mentors.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34
You're soaking in it.
Minutes after the hour. You know what? How much do we love Angela Carasone of StopBeck.com? And it's a particularly good day to mock Glenn Beck. Good morning, Angelo.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I am good. Let's talk about Jerusalem Palooza or whatever it was that Glenn Beck. As usual, he is a size queen, and he inflated the size of his attendance as he normally does, didn't he?
Yes, he did, pretty wildly, actually. And it was a little interesting because, I mean, aside from the fact that he, you know, 2 days ago he was reporting that 1,700 people showed up, sold out, and that there was overflow crowds. And then when he was talking about it on the radio the following day, he inflated the number again by a few thousand. And what was interesting about that is that it was someone on his staff actually corrected him on air about his wildly inflated number, and instead of just sort of acknowledging it, he just doubled down and inflated it even further, which is a rather remarkable.
You're saying Glenn Beck lies about size?
Yeah. Yeah, I love this. I think our friends at Media Matters wrote, and lo and behold, in the space of one day, event attendees grew from 4,700 by Beck's own spokesman's reported count to 5,000 to 7,000 to 10,000. Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It keeps growing and growing.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, this event was intended to save the Jews from being pushed into the sea, and to the extent that Jews are not currently, you know, stuck in the sea, I think that it was a very big success.
It was very successful. Thank you.
We have dry Jews in Israel, thanks to Glenn.
That's a big man of you to admit that, Angela.
I feel dry whenever I hear him speak.
I know Media Matters was saying he was whining about the skimpy coverage in the media, and they said, hint, if a pillar of fire had appeared or if the Zechariah prophecy had been fulfilled as Beck had predicted, there might have been more coverage.
Yes, and I just, it's probably worth pointing out that they weren't even being sarcastic when they said that. Glenn Beck actually did say that that this would be the fulfillment of one of Zechariah's prophecies. He repeatedly said, actually, not just once, but repeatedly said that, you know, you should be prepared because there's a very strong possibility that pillars of fire will appear. He also suggested that the gates of heaven will open. Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that a couple, you know, sort of in the lead up to this event, Glenn Beck said that, you know, those little Bible code prophecies sort of things that people do, you know, that the ones that, like, they say, oh, predicted 9/11 or other sort of things. Well, he said that a Torah code expert, of course, and a real serious, a religious scholar, put Glenn Beck into the Torah code, and what they got out of the Torah code was that Glenn Beck loves Israel and speaks the truth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Angelo.
Yes, he did. God put it in the Torah a couple thousand years ago.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Angelo, I'm so glad that you're still stopping Beck, even though you stopped Beck already on TV. But let me ask you, how much of this Israel business with Glenn Beck is really damage control after the stuff he said about the Jews killing Jesus and the rabbis writing their letters and his offensive comments about the progressive rabbis? How much of this is Glenn really caring about Jesus? How much of it is rapture cheerleading? And how much of it is just Glenn doing damage control?
Oh, gosh, John, I'm so glad you asked that, because it's totally damage control, except in Glenn Beckistan, damage control actually means inflicting more damage.
Yes.
aside from the fact that, you know, this was a real, you know, controversial issue because, as one member of the Knesset said, Israel has enough of its own racists, we don't need to import them from the United States. That was what a member of the Knesset said, not my quote. But what was interesting that Glenn Beck did sort of when he was there in Israel is that he actually said that, I guess unknowingly, that 87% of Israelis are supporting a leftist Islamo-fascist movement that is trying to destroy Israel.
And that obviously stirred
up a lot of controversy internally, and what it had to do with was the fact that several hundred thousand protesters were protesting some of these housing regulations and some economic issues, and that's like the equivalent of about, you know, given the population size, about like 10 million people protesting here, and those protesters are supported by about 87% of Israelis. 87% of Israelis are supportive of what they are actually protesting. And what Glenn Beck said is that, actually, don't believe those protesters. They are working with a secret coalition of leftists and Islamists to destroy Israel and bring about this sort of, you know, destruction of Jerusalem and this sort of, you know, this caliphate. And he actually, you know, because 87% of the country supports it, it's a pretty big insult, and it's very much akin to the kinds of attacks he's sort of lobbed before, which is that Reform Judaism is akin to, you know, radicalized Islam and a bunch of other things.
Angelo.
And,
yeah, and here is Glenn Beck doing damage control once again. How he loves the Jews, if only they weren't so, you know, yappy.
I love the Israelis. I love the Israelis. I love the Jewish people. But they drive me out of my mind when they talk over each other. They're constantly talking. I don't know how that society even functions, because you open up your eyes and it's like, it's, you know what it is? It's like, have you ever, I was friends with a family that had 8 kids. Eating dinner at their house was like having dinner in Israel. Everybody is just talking at the same time. You can't even think.
You're not my son. You're not my son, Glenn Beck.
It's It's interesting because who he is, what he actually said during this event. I mean, aside from the fact that it had some pretty star-studded power, like John Voight, who said that Glenn Beck speaks for God.
I thought John Voight didn't show up. Did he show up?
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, did he?
Glenn Beck.
Okay.
He's a big fan. Yeah,
wow. Yeah, no, I thought he was scheduled, but he didn't show up, because I know Joe Lieberman was supposed to go.
He came, John Voight came to say how Hollywood celebrities should keep their mouth shut.
All of the political figures that had promised to go and basically attacked everyone for several months in the lead-up, that if they didn't support Glenn Beck, they were being, you know, anti-Israel, all backed out just a few days before the event. So that might account for why there were so many empty seats, was that, you know, these people sort of backed out at the last minute. But it's a rather remarkable thing, because some of the stuff that he said there was rather controversial. One of the things that he was promoting was this Temple Institute, which is actually a pretty extreme organization that is attempting to build a third temple on the Temple Mount. And it was started and founded by this guy who is extreme radical. He doesn't believe that non-Jews should live in Israel. He thinks it should be against the law for Jews to have sex with Muslims or Christians. And that's some of the soft stuff that he's advocated in the past. And, you know, he's a really controversial figure in Israel, and the fact that, you know, there's this American out there who's, you know, aligning himself with them is rather embarrassing. And what I think this ultimately shows is that, you know, Fox News and other sort of the right-wing echo chamber that exists here, you know, Glenn Beck lost that platform, and without it, he's not able to sort of, you know, muster the same kind of attention and power and influence that he previously did. And so what I think this reminds us is that it's not about the individual people, as charismatic or interesting or humorous or silly as they may be. Ultimately, it's about that underlying structure of right-wing control of an influence in our media landscape in the United States. And they can basically manufacture celebrities like Glenn Beck, and the moment they disappear, that structure is still there. It's just another guy who's, you know, sort of out there spewing the talking points and spreading the hate.
And we learn one other thing, and that is he looks ridiculous in a yarmulke.
Glenn, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
All right. By the way, Angelo got a big promotion. He is director of online strategy for Media Matters. Congratulations, honey.
Nice, congratulations.
We will talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Did you have to kiss George Soros' cloven hoof for that? Was that part of your deal with the Satan?
That's the only way.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for that confirmation. All right, Angelo, thank you. All right, did you get that, Newsbusters? I hope so.
They admit it. The liberals admit it.
See, they admitted it.
He's the devil. It's right there.
The liberals admitted that there's a billionaire who's trying to help the working class.
What the hell?
Soros is Hungarian for class traitor.
Buddy in Columbus was at the Detroit Sexy Liberal. Hi, buddy.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, honey.
Hey, a couple things about Detroit, and one other thing real quick.
Yes.
Is what a wonderful venue that place was.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Absolutely gorgeous.
Stunning.
Building.
Gorgeous.
I mean, like that. And also a big shout out to Peggy and the UAW worker who were kind enough to take me out afterwards.
Yeah, listen.
And nice.
I heard.
We went and got Chris Lavoie tattoos and everything.
Hey,
Mama. Yes. One thing is, I never, and that your previous guest touched on, I never want to hear about the liberal media again. Yesterday it came out that John McCain, Joe Lieberman, and Lindsey Graham were over there doing deals with Muammar Gaddafi.
Yep.
Three Republican pals.
Yep.
The guy who blew up a disco in the 1980s, killing three people, injuring 280, many of them U.S. GIs, and they're over there cutting a deal with them. And I turned on the news last night, not a mention of it.
Nope. And what president made him our ally?
Reagan.
Bush. Reagan bombed him. Bush made him our ally.
Oh, you're right.
Bush told us he was our friend now.
Yep. By the way, buddy, you always send me, because you and I are unbelievable dog lovers, and you always send me pictures of your lab. Did you happen to see the picture of the black lab at the, one of the Navy SEALs killed in Afghanistan in the chopper? The dog is lying. It's a picture. They went up on Facebook. It's lying at his coffin. He won't leave. Did you see that?
I saw that he walked up in front of everybody, smelled the coffin, and laid down underneath it.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Oh, you got it. All right, I made us both cry. I'm sorry. I can't help it. He always tortures me with pictures of his beautiful black lab, but oy vey. All right, somebody has a question for John.
Uh-oh.
Nanette. John, it's for you.
Good morning.
Hi, John. It's Nanette from L.A. And I have my tickets for the October 22nd show in L.A., but you were going to announce something today on Steph's show?
Yes, I was, actually, because I'm in L.A. this week, back in my other hometown, and it's my first time back in a year. So I do, I don't just do the Stephanie Miller show or these military shows or the comedy club circuit. I have a very special series that I do both in New York and L.A. where I do a show that mixes stand-ups with political satire, with hip-hop poetry, with spoken word. It's my unholy experiment, and I want to make an announcement right now for all the Steph listeners in the L.A. area.
Okay,
we are going to have the unholy experiment returning to L.A. tomorrow night for the first show in a year with special guests Emmy winner David Feldman, Kelly Carlin, Chris Bono, Suzanne Wong, some of my favorite comics, Frank Conniff, TV's Frank of Mystery Science Theater, and a very special guest making a rare onstage comedic appearance, returning to my show for the first time in a year. Emmy Award winner Mr. Jim Ward will be on stage with me tomorrow night in Hollywood.
I think I have a sore throat.
This is going to be at Elderberry's, which is like a jazz club in Sunset. It's very intimate, so we'll be whispering. I heard it's intimate.
Great.
I haven't seen the room.
Great.
And
I was at your last show.
You were?
In L.A., my sister and I.
At that little cafe where we did it?
Yes.
This is a very experimental thing I do, mixing spoken word and poetry and hip-hop, and Jim has agreed to come and grace us at this new little room. It's on Sunset Boulevard. The invitation is up on Facebook. Just search The Unholy Experiment, and you'll find it. And,
all right. We'll see you there, hopefully, right, Annette?
Yes, I will.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Because, listen, John Fugelsang had a little incident in Detroit. He has very over-enthusiastic female fans.
Yeah, Hal gets
that
the hot...
he sometimes needs to be secured against.
I gotta say, Hal gets the hot groupies. I get the damaged Catholics and or the people on the... Hal gets, the really hot models as his groupies, and I get the people who are seeing our show on an outpatient basis.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's homeless. Let's make a dance song.
1-800-STEPH-1-2. Arnold in North Carolina. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Go ahead.
You again. Listen, the good old boys in my neighborhood, they are beyond themselves. They want to write in a candidate. They want a candidate that is conservative as they are. It just happened to be from New York. His name is Giuliani, because Giuliani believes in what they believe in, a strong stance, a strong conservative stance. They believe in the sanctity of marriage, like Rudy Giuliani believe in the sanctity of marriage.
Exactly.
That marriage between a man and maybe his second or third cousin.
You tell them that Giuliani was the candidate for mayor of the Liberal Party in New York and the Republican Party at the same time. You tell them Giuliani's pro-choice, and I love them pro-choice Don Quixote Republicans.
By the way, he seemed to be just fine with the gays when he was living with a couple of them. His wife kicked him out.
He was living with a pair of gay men, and he was for gay marriage before he was against it.
Mm-hmm. Stacey in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stace.
Hi, Mama.
Hi.
I've been waiting to tell you this story for years. This is a true story. I used to belong to a temple for the performing arts that was originally founded so that people in the industry could go to temple and not get gawked at. And the rabbi was very, very good friends with John Voight, and John Voight used to come all the time. One year on Yom Kippur, which you know is the holiest day of the year, John Voight, the rabbi invited John Voight to come up on stage and speak to the congregation. And he was very serious, and he was talking about this dear friend of ours who's in trouble and needs all our prayers and needs all our support and all our love, and everybody is buzzing around. Oh, my God, who is it? What is it? And after he goes on for about 10 minutes, it was Zsa Zsa, and it was the year she slapped the cop.
John Voight did
John
this?
Voight gave a prayer for Zsa Zsa, who had slapped a cop.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. And if you didn't know he was a big bucket of crazy.
Right.
I mean, I was so offended afterwards. I mean, Yom Kippur is a real serious holiday.
Yeah.
And it was so offensive to me that he would do that. Anyway,
yeah.
I just have to tell you all.
Well, and I think it was redundant. I think that's all that was in any of our prayers at that point was Zsa Zsa.
Oh man, Dennis Miller had the best joke ever about her. He said Zsa is Hungarian for Sirhan.
God. Was that when Rick Overton was
writing his jokes, yeah.
All right. Wow, here's one thing Mittens, what did we call him? Reversible Mittens. When I say we, I mean you, and then I just stole it right in front of you.
Good, use that on CNN.
Uh-huh.
But it's true.
I let him know. I text him, John, I'm using your joke on CNN.
I love it. It's an honor. It's like when Rodin would sign someone else's sculpture, or Elvis would say he wrote a song that someone else did.
With the constant stream of Wall Street donations.
I'm going to teach you sexual moves to use on your groupies that you can say.
Thank you. Flowing into his campaign coffers, it was only a matter of time before Mittens called to repeal Wall Street's number one enemy, the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill. Although Congress enacted the law to provide vital consumer protections and to prevent Wall Street from spurring another financial crisis, Republicans have continually attempted to circle the law piecemeal, either by attacking the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau or weakening the derivatives regulation. Romney decided yesterday that a repeal of the law was necessary because, once again, the law's length is too overwhelming. There's too many pages.
All right, first off,
let
me just say one thing about the financial reform bill, okay? That thing is so watered down, you could drop it on California wildfires, right?
Yeah.
You can write a log flume through that bill. And it's
better than
bill,
nothing, but it's not
it's
as strong
better than
as it
nothing,
should
but it's
been,
not reform, it's improvement. It's like health care reform. I love the Affordable Care Act, but it's not reform, it's improvement. And the financial reform bill is about more oversight. Their idea is, like, if you want to solve a shark problem, hire more lifeguards. That's all it is. It's not crippling Wall Street. They're still going to have record profits.
But and even that, he's got to, that's what on the Republican side, you got to be for repealing even that.
And it's to prevent another meltdown. It's conservative in its very nature.
All right. By the way, Joe, you were talking about this earlier. I don't really even think it's like dog whistle or code anymore, the racism. Is it on the right? WorldNet Daily ventures into racially charged territory by now implying Obama's lazy. That's why he sees on vacation so much. And by so much, we mean about a third of as much as George
Bush
was. In August 22nd column, WorldNet Daily founder, what's his name, Joseph Farah, whatever, wrote, "You won't hear me complain Obama's taking his 17th vacation in the last 2.5 years. We should be grateful the man has no work ethic. Just imagine the damage he would have done if he did.
He's lazy. And he's an evil socialist mastermind and an incompetent in over his head."
Wow.
He's all those things at once.
In August 23rd, WorldNet Daily wrote, "I wouldn't care if Obama was a Muslim if he weren't such an arrogant, lazy, snotty, lying socialist."
Wow.
Nice.
He called him a socialist.
That's twice this week they have portrayed Obama as lazy. The idea of a lazy black man among the horriest bits of stereotypical racial imagery out there, as we noted when Fox News' Eric Bolling described Obama as chugging 40s and having hoodlums in his house.
In the hip-hop bar. You know what, folks? Here's the great thing. Digital is forever. This is not analog videotape anymore. This is the digital age. These racist things they say that, you know, we don't always notice as racist, that get slide by in the liberal media, well, they'll be around forever, and future students will study how racist our culture was against Obama. Yep. And these men will be scorned 20 years from now in their old age.
All right, a little bit of celebrity stack. Guess what? I have something in common with Paris Hilton now. She also has been...
You have one facial expression?
She has been canned by Oxygen Network. And I feel your pain, sister.
Mm.
Yeah, her Paris, the world.
What's she
going
to do?
Paris. Something.
That's why,
know.
You know, you can't order porn in a Hilton hotel because she might get some money and that would make you feel dirty.
All right. Jim, I don't... It's a Stone story. Ronnie Wood's girlfriend has removed all the alcohol from his house. I don't. You know what? Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black were here yesterday for 2 hours, and they explained, I thought, very, very succinctly how all problems in America can be solved by drinking.
Except over drinking.
Is this Ronnie Wood's teen bride?
Yeah, right. Yes.
I can't keep track of all this.
He was told to get rid of all the booze in his bar. He said,
yeah, he's got a house in Ireland with a bar in it.
Yeah.
And there's
the Russian girl who called him a goblin?
She made him turn it into a coffee bar.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was just saying it was true. When my dad was in Congress, they went out drinking all the time, and they talked to O'Neill and Ron Reagan. They knocked a couple back.
Yeah, they were friends.
Just saying.
It's good business. I go out with my Republican friends and my Democratic friends. I don't belong to a party. It's like sane people get along with others. Liberals got to lead the way on that.
Yep. And finally, Joan Collins, I just love when she says anything, so I have to report it, because she's really... Yes, 78 years old, and says it's important for women's happiness and appearance to stay active in the bedroom as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
78 okay, years old. She's still bumping uglies with somebody.
Well, that's, you know, you can get older, you can get better. Stay happy.
All right. John Fugelsang in L.A. tomorrow night, johnfugelsang.com for information on John Fugelsang.
Yes, or all Facebook,
right,
or Twitter.
There you go. All right. I'd like to thank Chris, Jim, Rebecca. We will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.